about.
Gentlemen, you've taken me by surprise. I must say that I'm not prepared to put the show back on.
Oh, it won't take much preparation. We've already got the staff back.
How can I clarify this? I don't want to put the show back on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey, it's Friday. I'm Rodney, you're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
Pot is a gateway drug. If you start smoking marijuana, next you will be doing energy drink enemas and having sex with various marsupials, including kangaroos, but not limited to wombats.
You know, the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all?
No, I just don't.
You know, it is like the best medicine.
Because it fixes everything.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration at all.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what? I love bananas.
Roll another. Just like the other one.
He does have a warm, attractive voice.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That boy has a major case of the horns.
Another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Fire beer mug.
Roll.
Well, that's another way to play.
This one seems to be about sense.
I don't even know what to say about this.
I don't have another sense.
You're a slut. You're a slut. You're a slut. You're a slut. Everybody should know.
Why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Let's pass it around.
That guy. What would he need him for?
And now,
are we going to start?
I think that's a good start. I'm happy with that.
Our feature presentation.
It was part of a greatly edited part of yesterday's open.
Well, why wouldn't we be happy with that start? I liked it too.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is finally Friday. Couldn't be happier.
Thank God. Thank God. What's going on, party people?
What's falling apart?
What's everybody doing for the weekend?
For the weekend, not much.
I am spending today packing to go to Mexico, and then tomorrow night I have a charity event for a dog rescue.
We'll talk about that in a half hour from now.
Very, very busy.
Do not have time for the charity
Sunday
thing right now.
Flying away.
Are you gone next week, Lisa? You're next one next week? Are you going to give us the guy? Is the guy going to be doing the traffic?
The guy is going to be doing the traffic, I believe.
He is. He's going to be back. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Keep waiting for him to send us a death threat or something.
Donna loves how you talk about him.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he really, really does.
Good time.
Does he like it when we slow down his voice?
He loves that most of all.
Really? Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes.
Excellent.
So how about it?
That'll be fun. Yesterday we had a story about a 96-year-old, you recall, in India, I believe, who was a new father at that age. His name was Ramjeet. Today this is a story involving a man named Sandeep. Sandeep Singh is in the news. Did you guys see him yesterday claiming his $30 million lottery prize?
I heard highlights of it this morning, but...
He was the Mega Millions winner. There were two winners, actually. One was in Fresno, and he was in Massachusetts, so he gets half of the $61 million jackpot, $30.5 million. And he has got to be so frustrating for people who feel like they have the lottery figured out. People who have a system, people who know how to play the lottery, people who knows what's going to work. Here's a little bit of his press conference from yesterday when he came forward to claim his giant check.
So what's your story? How did you come about this ticket? You knew the numbers or?
No, I didn't know the numbers. It was a quick pick. Yeah. I had to go to work, so I had my sister
grab the ticket for me while I was there because I wasn't going to get out until 10.
All right, so already he's violating everything people who play the lottery think they know about it, which is that you pick your own numbers and that you play every, you know, that you make sure to buy your own tickets. He barely got this ticket.
Right.
He thought about it at the last minute, had his sister pick one up on the way home because he wasn't going to be able
just
to buy
it. Just get me
it.
One.
You know, his sister has got to be thinking,
yeah,
you owe me some cash.
That hasn't come up yet in anything that I've seen, but doesn't it seem like she gets a piece,
it's
right?
It's only right.
All right, wait, there's more from Sandeep.
She picked it up and, yeah, walked out.
Pretty young. How often do you play the lottery?
Probably every, like, 2 weeks, every 3 weeks.
So maybe once or twice a month?
Yeah, yeah.
Since you were 18?
I started when I was 21.
Okay, so he doesn't play every week. Two times a week, a month maybe, three times a month. He's only been playing for less than a year. He's been buying lottery tickets, by the way. How much is he driving everybody crazy right now?
So not even a year.
Not even a year.
Wow.
So what's your life like? What before this?
Before this,
what do you do for a living?
Yeah, live in Hyannis, Massachusetts. Work at Best Buy and Citizens Bank. Help my mom pay bills. That's pretty much it.
I love his.
That was quite a list. I'm tired.
He works two jobs.
He works two jobs and helps support the family. He's already handed in his 2 weeks' notice at Best Buy, by the way.
I was going to say, you got to quit one of those.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he said whether he was going to quit the bank or not, but he is going to use the money to pay off his mom's house and pay some other bills. The reason this guy has made news, though, is coming up.
No. Do you have a lucky girlfriend?
No lucky girlfriend. Just broke up with her, so nice. Thank God.
By the way, the guy is a colossal dork, too.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that he had a girlfriend. But do you hear how much he's laughing about just breaking up with this girlfriend?
How recently?
Well, funny you should ask, Kevin.
Yeah.
Did she break up with you or did you break up with
She broke up with me, but right now I'm not really worried about it, yeah. I was heartbroken at first, but now I'm getting over it. Yeah.
You think she may call you back?
Doesn't matter. I hope not, yeah.
I thought it was in that piece of tape. It's been less than 2 weeks since they broke up.
Oh, sweet.
And then he wins $30.5 million in the Mega Millions. What's she thinking? What's that like?
Oh man,
what is that like?
Because you said he's a doofus.
He's a total doofus.
Okay, so she's all right. I mean, what does she hope to get if she stays with him? I mean, if she looks at it now, does she say
cash? But I'm with the doofus.
Money.
I'm with a doofus, but you hang on to that doofus long enough to get some, don't you?
I don't know. It's really hard to hang on to a doofus.
Yeah.
but she liked him well enough to date him when he was poor and working two jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean,
that's because he was working two jobs and was never home.
Yeah, that's very possible.
I mean, there must have been some reason why they were dating, but it's less than 2 weeks ago. They break up, and then she sees him on the news with a big, giant $30 million check. I'd love to talk to her.
Saying that he's happy he broke up with you. That's what she
saw.
God.
Really
on TV. Thank God.
Now, Bean, you heard this story, right, of the guy that won but then didn't come forward for how long was it? 18 months?
I'm not sure which one you're
I
talking
just
about.
Heard
Go
this
ahead.
This morning because he wanted to
end things,
meet a nice girl.
Oh.
And establish a good relationship before anyone knew he had cash. So he waited until the deadline was almost there before he claimed it.
There's some pressure.
So he was walking around knowing he was, I assume, a multimillionaire, right?
Yeah.
And had not even claimed the money and was just planning on doing it after he had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Or maybe even after he got married. I'm not sure, but.
How about that conversation at dinner? Okay, there's something I haven't told you. I've got to be completely honest with you now, and I hope this isn't going to ruin our relationship, but I am also a multimillionaire.
How do you put off for 18 months?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Getting the money. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's unheard of because you would think he would be in a position, unless he was rich, you would think he would be in a position where that money would change a lot of things.
Of course. Right.
And would help him land a girlfriend, for one thing. Wow.
A better girlfriend.
Well, those of you that play your system and you're convinced of it, sorry.
Yeah.
Take a page out of the Sandeep playbook.
You're wrong. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You smell like alcohol.
Yeah.
That's normal. Rachel Nichols will be in the studio today.
Yeah, I like her.
Bean's obsessed, and that means...
She's desperately trying to pull back.
And that means creepy alert time. Yeah. We're all going to have
her.
Very creepy.
Oh, is that? Oh, today? She's coming in today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I might be here. No big deal.
Uh-huh. You might not then?
I might not.
Okay.
I might sit this one out.
That would be great. We have Dan Coyle, who's written a book called The Secret.
The former vice president of the United States?
Dan Coyle. Coyle.
Oh, sorry.
Written a book called The Secret Race Inside the Hidden World of the Tour de France. It's all about, doping and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up this morning. I don't know if you watch Boss, but the season finale is tonight.
That's right.
Kathleen Robertson is on that program. She plays Kitty. She's going to be on the show today.
Great.
Or Robertson.
What did I say?
Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's close enough for me. Movie Beat, because it is Friday. Also, because it's Friday, we got Cousin Sal with his NFL picks. Mm-hmm. And coming up just after the top of the hour, we need you to help us settle an argument. So we have a scientific survey on the way. So that's coming up just after the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Is Lisa May, in fact, the worst person in the world? We'll find out in about 10 minutes or so.
We
got to wait and hear what the kids, how the kids weigh in on the scientific survey. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Rob Pattinson, Kristen Stewart, back together again. True love conquers all.
Yeah, we heard.
Well, maybe not all. Apparently, our Pats is hell-bent on teaching K-Stu a little lesson. Kristen apparently wants everything to go back to the way it was in their relationship before she knocked it out with her director, Rupert Sanders.
Let's just forget that ever happened, can we?
But Robert, however, cannot forgive her and is insisting on booking separate hotel rooms when they go on a promotional tour for Breaking Dawn Part 2. So they will be traveling together, but not sleeping together.
This is all a lie.
According to our Pats.
Allegedly.
But that is great news for him, because now he can get all sorts of strange tale on the road.
Well, with her next door. That's how you teach your lesson.
Yeah.
You bang the headboard against the shared wall between your suites.
I don't know what noise you're talking about.
We are in separate rooms, K-Stu. Just go pout. Oh, wait a minute. You're already doing that. You're always already doing that. Meanwhile, you one of your poster kids for true love, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. Apparently getting married this weekend in Italy. Got a lot of friends in town. The duo chartered a private plane to fly their guests to a town outside of Napoli. And the celebration reportedly has already begun. Word is the festivities kicked off on Tuesday. There was a big fireworks display on Wednesday. And big name guests like Timberland and others have been flying in for the nuptials. Word is the two fell in love off the Amalfi Coast. And so that's why the country holds a special place in their hearts, and that's why they're getting married there this weekend, according to reports.
You know, it's funny. For non-celebrities, they have a wedding out of the country so that they don't have to pay for people.
Right.
No one can come. They'll just send gifts.
Celebrities, right. You have to book charter private planes to fly everyone
fly
to
them
your
all
party.
Wow.
Because what's the point of having a look-at-me wedding if there's no one there to look at you? Kellen Lutz, while we're talking about the Twilight Gang, he says the end of the Twilight franchise for him is bittersweet. Very much like high school, he says, but I'm ready to graduate. He says, I want to act for the rest of my life, the 27-year-old says. I'll win an Oscar one day.
Easy.
He says, I'll take a little on that action. Where can I lay down my bet?
Even if you're great, a lot of times you don't get the role, yeah, or somebody's better than you that year or whatever.
There's a lot of great actors who have never won an Oscar, but he says he's going to do it.
All right.
It's going to happen. Should the acting gig not pan out, he's got a solid backup plan. Chemical engineering.
For reals?
Yeah. He says chemistry is the biggest passion in my life. And he says he has two top secret patent-pending inventions that are already in the works. He is working with inventors in Arizona with a scientist there to create his two top secret chemical engineering inventions.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yes. He's a genius. And he is dreamy.
Kellen Lutz, the one of the singing dogs.
He's got it all.
Okay.
As does Sofia Vergara. Told Us Weekly Magazine this week. She knows that she won't always have the killer body she has right now, and she says she's decided she's going to show it off every chance she gets.
All right. That's the attitude.
To which I say, I have two words for you, Sofia. Play mother effing boy. Strip it down and get in there. Get in there, girl.
Yeah! That's hot.
Would you pick up an issue of Playboy if Sofia Vergara was on the inside?
I would never put it down.
Yeah, pretty spectacular. And sad news, our boy Flava Flav in trouble with the authorities. You may have read the story already, but apparently there was an argument between Flav and Elizabeth Trujillo, his girlfriend. It began over his alleged infidelity. and then escalated to the point where she was tossed on the floor twice. Ew. Her 17-year-old son tried to step in and defend her. He was also threatened by Flav, according to reports. Then, you know, it calmed down when Flav began to wrestle with the 17-year-old and eventually grabbed two knives from the kitchen and chased him upstairs, where the 17-year-old boy locked himself in the bedroom. So, Flav did the rational thing and kicked the door in.
Wow.
Yeah, bad stuff.
He's like the Hulk.
Flav's denied. Yeah, Flav's like 5'1", 80 pounds,
right?
Isn't he? Flav has denied chasing the kid, but the cops say the two knives were found on the kitchen floor, and the CSI folks say Flav was cut with one of them, so apparently he did have them at some point. His court date yesterday, he was charged with felony assault with a deadly weapon and misdemeanor domestic violence. So.
Yeah, boy!
If he goes to jail, he will do time that he will be able to mark by looking down at his necklace.
That's true.
Which is just, you don't
want
that.
They may not allow that.
You don't want that. You don't, oh, look how, much, how slowly time is
it's
going.
It's only 10 a.m.
So around my neck.
Flava Flava always knows what time it is.
I think that was Ralph's joke.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Lithgow, 67 years old today. What a guy. What a guy that John Lithgow is.
Great actor.
Great actor and just could not be nicer. I had a chance to hang out with him a little bit when I did the panel for Dexter at Comic-Con, when he was the Trinity Killer, of course, that year.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
it's right
past.
Out there, yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the panel, and backstage, he was just going around to everybody, the crew, and just introducing himself, and just a sweetheart of a fella. I was so impressed. Evander Holyfield is 50 years old today. TV host Ty Pennington turns 48. Jon Favreau. What a career this guy's had. From actor to screenwriter to big-time director. He's got the world by the ass, this guy does. 46 years old. Trey Parker of South Park fame and Book of Mormon is 43. Chris Kattan. Sure, he was on Saturday Night Live, but when I say the words Chris Kattan, what do you think of?
Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the mother effing Roxbury. Goddamn right.
That's terrible.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. He is 42 years old. Omar Gooding from Hanging with Mr. Cooper is 36, as is actress Joy Bryant from Parenthood and Antoine Fisher. And Jillian Jacobs from the TV show Community celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. You don't win anything except for the opportunity to make the world a better place, because it's another Kevin and Bean scientific survey where we need you to weigh in on a topic that we cannot disclose until we already have you on hold, and then you help us decide what's right and what's wrong. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to you in less than a minute. Rob's got the movie beat coming up. We'll also talk to the guy who knows more about Lance Armstrong and the doping scandal than anybody in the world, I think. The guy's written two complete books on Lance Armstrong. So I'll be curious to hear what author Dan Coyle has to say about what's happened this week.
I heard he's got
about
one
him losing
ball.
All of his sponsors.
I heard he's got one ball.
I think, yeah.
That was the news this week.
That was not this week.
Oh, wasn't this week?
I think it was earlier, yeah.
Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend action coming up, and actress Rachel Nichols. It's all on the way here on the World Famous K-Rock. All right. I think we got our people.
All right. Usually what we do here is, if Ralph's involved in a charity, or Bean, or myself, or Lisa, you know, not Muggs, but everyone else.
Yeah.
If they're involved in a charity and they want to promote something, they usually bring it to the group, and the group usually says, sure, go ahead. Lisa might be abusing the privilege a little bit, as yeah. She just did one, I don't know, a week ago or two, where yes. She sent people to Africa on a safari.
No. It was a safari in Chatsworth or
right.
Something. It was like a safari in like some...
It was a safari social
some
in Sylmar for the Wildlife Learning Center.
Safari social.
And we were very social.
All right, so that's effing shaky to begin with, right?
Right.
How do you take something as awesome as a safari, which is maybe one of the greatest experiences in the world, and screw it up by making it a safari social?
Been to the Wildlife Learning Center?
I'll tell you how. Bean, you don't have elephants, you don't have lions, you don't have any of the big cats.
Oh, look.
Hey, there were cats. Not really there were big cats.
Look, here's a rat we got out of the local storm drain. Whoa, look,
there were
wild
monkeys
animals.
And porcupines and
anyway,
lancets.
So we all kind of just said, all right, that's fine.
We rolled our eyes and said, oh, Lisa.
You're passionate about it. Let's go ahead and try to raise some money for animal rescue. Right. And then yesterday she brought up something new. You know, sometimes it's a little harder just to roll your eyes and go, all right, if you're into it, that's good with me. And yesterday was one of those days. Lisa is going to be a judge.
She's going to be a judge? That's awesome.
Along with Nicole Alvarez and some other people.
I was going to get
to law school.
Take it easy. With Nicole.
Uh-huh.
And they are going to be judging a Halloween costume contest.
First of all, we know Nicole is a horrible judge, especially of men. And I don't believe Lisa ever finished law school, so I don't think she'd be a judge either.
A Halloween costume contest that involves
pets.
People.
No.
And their dogs.
No.
People and their dogs.
Hold on.
Now, does that mean the people, are they wearing matching? Is it all one theme?
Well, you know, your dog doesn't have to be in a costume, and neither do you. But if you want to, you could be in a costume.
Wait a costume contest.
Or your dog could, or you both could. I mean, if you're going to enter the contest,
if someone
then
goes in the contest without their
you,
dog or them being dressed in a costume, they should win.
They should
one
be tossed.
The two of you needs to be in a costume. First of all, so we need to talk about Angels and Fur Dog Rescue.
We don't, first
we
of
really
all.
We really do.
First of all, we need to do a scientific survey.
No, you need to know why we're doing this. I think that's important.
All right, there can't be any good reason that you're having animals dress up, but
Angels
what is the
in
alleged
fur
reason?
Dog rescue.
All right. Okay.
Does something very special. It's they rescue dogs that need medical attention, like strays that have been hit by cars or abused in some way. And they also rescue evidence dogs, which are dogs that are held by the city or the county because they've been abused and they're going to be used in a trial.
Okay.
And those dogs never get adopted. So they rescue them, they fix them, they fix all their medical problems, and then they get them adopted.
Do they like a wonderful organization.
Amazing, yeah. They
do
really
they fix
do great
all
stuff.
Of the owners when they come in?
So to save animals, especially dogs, from abuse, you're going to dress them up in Halloween costumes, which is, in fact, abuse.
Look, you guys have seen Boner in here with a sweater.
Yeah, and I always question it. I always question it. I always say, why don't you love your dog?
He shivers. He gets cold. The costume is no different than that.
Oh, it's absolutely different than that. Because you're dressing them up as a penguin. And you're saying, hey, look at that. Schnauzer is a penguin.
And then you go, oh, how cute, oh, it's a dog, but look at
and the dog
his
said, oh, I just want to die. I just
they,
want to
are, they don't hate it.
They do, they
it,
want
then you don't do it. Some dogs don't like it, don't do it.
No dogs,
no dogs
like it.
No
some dogs,
dogs like
don't
it.
Mind at all.
Zero dogs like it.
That's
there,
not true.
There's no dog that's ever come up to you and pawed you and said, please put me in an outfit, Lisa. Yeah. No dog wants to be in an outfit.
By the way, the Raise the Woof Haunted House and Costume Contest is tomorrow night at 7:30.
Holy crap.
At Smooth Sound Multimedia in Van Nuys at 7:30.
This whole thing makes me want to abuse dogs now.
And you can go to Angels in Fur.
All right.
And get all the info.
What's it called? Angels,
Angels
in Fur?
Angels in Fur. You can just Google Angels in Fur
there
Dog Rescue.
All right. Let's find out if Lisa is the worst person in the world as we suspect. Shh. Or are we wrong and animals actually love wearing clothes?
Dressing.
It's time for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Dressing your pets up for Halloween.
Listen, you know what? I refuse to believe that America's in any sort of economic trouble when people still can afford to buy Halloween costumes for dogs. If you have the money to buy your dog a Halloween costume, shut the F up about the economy. Because you have too much goddamn money.
All right, let's begin with Andre. Hi, Andre.
How's it going, guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Andre.
You've heard the evidence on both sides. Dressing up your pet for Halloween, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay, first of all, I have a mini Doberman pincher, and she loves it when I put a sweater on her. She loves it.
You know what?
Because they
you know
get
what?
Cold.
She doesn't.
Yeah, she loves
she's
it.
She's probably like a 5-pound dog. They
she
get cold.
She loves it.
But I would never put a Halloween costume on a dog.
Really? So you think your dog likes the sweater, but are voting no?
I'm voting no just because I would not put my dog through that embarrassment of wearing a costume.
That's correct,
Andre.
You are a great American except for the sweater.
Andre.
Thank you for the call.
All right, that's one vote that Lisa needs to be put to death. Justin is up next.
I don't think
dog
that's what's
dignity.
Up for grabs here.
I can't remember what the penalty was.
Justin, hi.
Hello.
Hey, Justin.
Hi, guys. How's everyone doing?
We are
good.
Good. Dressing up your pet for Halloween. Yay or no?
I'm going to say no, just because I have a mini toy poodle, and well, it's my sister's dog, and it's hard for her to see already.
Yeah.
So she kind of like runs into things when every time she dresses her up.
Now
so.
You're turning me around to wanting to do it.
You should dress her up as Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, it's very hard, and then
see, he's blind, like, Justin. Never mind. Thank you for the call.
There's lots of costumes that
knows.
Would just be like a little sweater with like
that's
stripes on
knows.
It that makes it look
this
like
is a
beast.
Scientific survey. That's binding. Scientifically.
By the way, Can I ask, why does anybody not have an actual dog anymore? Why is everyone who's calling have a rodent for a pet?
I have a toy Frankenstein.
Everything is a toy something or a mini something else. All right, we're 0-2 on your side, Lisa. I'm sorry. Let's go to Chris. He's on line 3. He could be the defining vote, depending on how he goes.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Ralph and Lisa.
Hello.
Dressing your pet, Halloween.
I would not dress my dog in a costume because I think it's ridiculous and it provides no warmth whatsoever. I mean, a sweater is understandable, but a costume, it just makes it look dumb and it's a waste of money.
And it kills the dog's dignity.
It does not.
More importantly, dogs hate their lives.
I have a beagle and my mom has, like, a smaller dog, and I just call it a rat dog because it looks disgusting.
All right, that's irrelevant. But thank you for the call,
now
Chris.
Now he just hates small dogs.
We appreciate it.
Well, we don't have to take callers 4 and 5.
All guys,
no
by
costumes.
The way. What's that about?
That's all who called was guys.
That's science. Yeah, that's weird.
Do not dress your pets for Halloween. Well, that is science,
sorry,
and you must abide
contest.
By that rule, Lisa.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
The man who literally wrote the book on Lance Armstrong joins us next to talk about all the news of the week involving him. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What a mix of movies opening up in theaters this weekend. A real odd mix. And you'll understand as I talk more about them. The first one I want to talk about is called The Sessions. This is getting a huge amount of critical acclaim, a lot of buzz. And it's a fascinating, funny story that doesn't sound like it would be funny.
Okay.
The basic premise is John Hawks is in this film, plays a man who is in an iron lung due to polio, and he wishes to lose his virginity, so he contacts a professional sex surrogate with the help of his therapist and his priest to help him get laid.
Okay.
It sounds depressing, but it's actually very, very funny. Helen Hunt plays the sex surrogate. William H. Macy is his priest, who steals the film, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And Moon Bloodgood is his therapist, to which I would say,
yeah,
can I have sex with my therapist
yes.
instead of the sex surrogate? Because
yes.
Moon Bloodgood is much hotter.
And by the way, that's a real job that people have, being a sex surrogate. This isn't made up for the movies.
This is based on a true story, the autobiographical writings of a journalist and author who actually went through this and found the humor in it. The movie's called The Sessions, and here's a scene where he first meets his sex therapist and isn't quite sure how the etiquette of this transaction is supposed to be handled.
Your money's on the desk over there.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
That was the wrong way to start off.
It really was. Shall we start again?
Please, you start.
Although the aim is for us to have sex, I'm not a prostitute.
I'm sorry.
So, I understand you're able to have an erection.
Yes, but not by choice.
Do you know how many men there are who would give anything for a natural erection? Is this your place?
No, it's a friend's. The only bedroom furniture I have at my place is an iron lung.
Oh,
wow.
God.
This guy has
but
a tremendous
funny.
Sense of humor, and William H. Macy as his father confessor is the relationship between these two guys is very entertaining. It's a quirky, weird little film that people seem to be really enjoying. So if you're looking for something different, The Sessions certainly is that, if nothing else. Also opening up this weekend, you know, it's getting towards Halloween time. Every
yes,
week
it is.
We get a new scary movie.
Yes, we do.
This week, Paranormal Activity 4. This time, sheets will really be removed from your body when you can't see anyone touching it and the camera catches it in the corner of the room. Personally, is the tagline, I believe, is on the poster.
I don't think so.
It is, well, you know what it's about. It's about a family that witnesses strange events in their neighborhood, in their house. This time when a woman and mysterious child move in. You know how I feel about spooky kids in movies.
They scare you.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Paranormal Activity 4.
What's he doing? It's 3 in the morning.
Robbie, can you tell me who you were talking to?
Nobody.
Ah!
What is that?
Looks like a triangle with a circle in it.
Right there. That's it. I mean, what does it mean?
He does not like you.
What? Who doesn't like me?
You'll find out.
Ah! Ah!
Wyatt, you need to tell me what's going on.
I don't want you to get hurt.
Oh my god!
Turn them in.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I saw the first three.
Yeah. Then you've seen the fourth.
That's probably true.
That's my guess. And the scariest movie of the weekend by far. Oh, man. This got me. I got chills just watching this. It really, I broke out in a sweat.
What are you talking about?
My stomach got upset. This looks horrifying. Tyler Perry is Alex Cross in the movie Alex Cross. That's right. Medea fights crime.
This is not supposed to be a scary movie, Ralph.
It looks terrifying to me. Tyler Perry plays Detective Alex Cross, who is told that a member of his family has been murdered. He vows to track down the killer. And really, thank God, Tyler Perry is finally getting to play the hard-ass, hard-boiled, tough police detective role that he was always born for. And I can understand why you would cast Tyler Perry, because it's just hard to find a badass black guy to star in movies. It's just, oh, wait a minute. Every other black guy in show business is tougher than Tyler Perry. Somewhere Idris Elba's going, are you kidding me? Here's some scenes from the clips of Alex Cross.
He's focused. He's got a clear path.
Dr. Cross, are you there?
Are you having fun?
Inflicting pain is a crucial part of my true calling.
You are sick and twisted.
Dr. Cross, you're taking this personally. By the way, you have a very pretty wife.
It won't stop. I've seen his face. I've heard his voice. I will meet his soul at the gates of hell before I let him take a person that I love from me.
I will meet his soul at the gates of hell.
All right, that's a little over the top.
No, it's perfect.
But isn't Matthew Fox the bad guy?
Matthew Fox is the bad guy, yeah. An emaciated Matthew Fox stars along with Ed Burns, who I believe plays the partner of Alex Cross in this film, and Rachel Nichols also stars. Rachel. God, I feel for her.
We'll cheer her up when she comes in later.
I hope so.
I will find his soul at the gate of hell. Oh, I'm Adam Sandler.
Alex Cross. Adam Sandler is Alex Cross. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
That's so weird.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 641.
Let me tell you what's impressive to me about a guy like Lance Armstrong, Kevin. He managed to become one of the most beloved figures in the history of sports, one of the most popular men in America, and he did it by riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? Right?
I'm not sure how that happened, because I can't imagine watching a bike race all the way around France.
Well, I think it was just, his story with the cancer and everything, and just, winning one of the most grueling things in the world to do, and doing it, what, 7 times, I think he won it? Well, this has been a bad week for Mr. Armstrong. He lost a major endorsement deal with Nike, which used to be worth millions of dollars to him. He stepped aside from the chairmanship of the charity, the Livestrong charity. So we wanted to find out more about what is going on and what's likely to happen next. We went to the man who literally wrote the book on the subject. Dan Coyle joins us. His latest book is called The Secret Race: Inside the Hidden World of the Tour de France Doping Cover-Ups and Winning at All Costs. Mr. Coyle, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
You weren't surprised, I imagine, to see what came down this week. I would think somebody like you who's been following this so closely saw where this was headed. It was eventually going to happen, right?
It was. It was too big a secret. And I've spent the last 2 years kind of exploring that secret world with Tyler Hamilton for The Secret Race. And I've spent about 8 years before writing a book about cycling. So, yeah, this was all kind of out there, but it's still stunning to see the extent of that secret, how... You know, in other sports, the drug secret is sort of small. It's a guy with a syringe. And here we've got this James Bond story with this huge secret, secret phone, secret doctor, secret blood bags. It's really, really compelling stuff.
Give us kind of an overview, because I don't pay attention at all to the world of biking, but I do know Lance Armstrong because he's such a well-known person, as Bean was just saying. He's been super popular, super likable. He seemed to have won the race 7 times, and all along, everybody was so impressed that he was doing that without doping.
That's right. That's right.
And it turns out he was the whole time?
He was doing not just a little. He was the kingpin of that world.
The whole time?
I keep hearing that, but I don't know what that means exactly. I've never heard it, like, really explained.
Yeah, here's what it means, essentially. I mean, in order, when things start cheating, there's two ways to approach it. You can either cheat to catch up, or you can be entrepreneurial. And dope is a huge, huge deal in cycling. It adds 15-20% to your performance.
Now, let me just stop you right there and just ask, doesn't cycling need that?
What do you mean?
Don't they need all the help they can get?
He doesn't think it's
if a guy
exciting.
Could go 20 seconds faster, wouldn't it help him?
It can. The unfortunate thing is with the health, it can also kill them. The average age of the Tour de France winner, the average age of death of the Tour de France winner is like in the 50s.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So all right.
This stuff, these guys are like astronauts.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Back to you. 15 to 20% better. Go ahead.
So it gets down to the point where, and when they get these certain stuff, it really helps a lot. So it becomes this chess game of who's got the best stuff, who's got the best doctor. And Armstrong, early on, back in 95, before he had cancer, signed up with this Italian doctor who's had the greatest last name. It's Dr. Michele Ferrari.
Love it.
Dr. Ferrari was the man, and he understood how to make guys go fast. And Lance did an exclusive contract with Dr. Ferrari. You don't hear about Dr. Ferrari in any of Lance's books. He never talked about him, but he had this secret relationship with him, and it made all of the difference. And in the first tour that Lance won, talk about being entrepreneurial, he hired his gardener, this guy named Philippe, they nicknamed him Moto Man, to deliver blood-boosting drugs called EPO on his motorcycle to the tour. So he'd ride his motorcycle, they would hide it in something like a Coke can, they'd get it in the bus, they'd take the drugs, they'd put it back in the Coke can, crush it, and they would send it out with a doctor and walk right through the crowd, right through the cops.
So he was taking it during the race.
You bet. That's when it matters. That's when it makes the most difference. And Lance won that.
What about testing, though? Don't they test for drugs at the Tour de France?
Oh, yeah. He's passed hundreds of tests, as have all these guys.
Is that what the doctor did, was learn how to get around the tests?
That's right. He was one of the doctors who actually had helped design the test, so he knew the way around it. And they always say that the saying among the cyclists, is that these were not drug tests as much as they were IQ tests. If you could tell time, if you could monitor your dosage, you had nothing to worry about. Because the governing body didn't really want to catch you. They didn't really want to kill the golden goose.
Oh, I see. So if you were good about it, you could get away with it easily.
Bingo.
I heard something, Dan, about where one of Lance's teammates tested and called Lance in a panic, and Lance said, "I'll take care of it." And he did. Now, what was that about?
Well, Armstrong had a very cozy relationship with, you know, cycling's not a very big sport. Armstrong, as an individual, made as much as the sport was worth.
Yeah.
You know, Armstrong made $100 million on this being the best cyclist in the world. He had a cozy relationship with the sport's governing body. And one time Armstrong himself had a suspicious test in 2001. And he said, "Look, I think I got popped." But he said, "But don't worry, I'm going to take care of it." And he had a meeting with the lab. The lab had a meeting, and then it went away.
Really? So it was kind of an open secret in the cycling world that everybody was using something, right?
That's correct.
What happened to make Floyd Landis go public back in 2010 to be the first guy to point the finger at Lance Armstrong?
It has to do with character. You know, Armstrong has got this brain that really puts everything into black and white, friend or enemy. He is a ruthless competitor. And he and Floyd, he and Floyd were teammates once. Floyd won the tour, got popped, got busted, lost the tour. And Floyd was trying to make a comeback. And Armstrong basically ignored him. Armstrong basically was not a friend to him. He was an enemy. Armstrong tried to prevent Floyd from coming back.
He sounds like the Godfather.
That's actually a pretty accurate description.
People come to him for help, and he says no.
It sounds like he could have kept Floyd from getting popped, too.
That's right. That one phone call, if he had been a friend of Floyd for 30 seconds, it would have changed all of this. This all might not have happened. So it really comes down to this Greek story, really, of this guy whose greatest strength, his ruthless competitiveness that led him to succeed in this really dark world, ended up bringing him down.
This is the voice of author Dan Coyle on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. His book is available everywhere now, called The Secret Race, Inside the Hidden World of the Tour de France, Doping Cover-Ups and Winning at All Cost. What happens to Lance Armstrong now? Does he have any value to the world beyond just being a good human? Is there anything he's going to be able to do publicly from this point on, Dan?
Well, that's the big question. It's sort of the million-dollar question at this point. Tonight, there's a 15th anniversary, well, they're calling it a celebration, but it can hardly have a celebratory atmosphere in Austin for Livestrong. He's clearly done a lot in the cancer community, but it's difficult to see a way forward, because the only way forward is to confess.
Right.
The only way forward is to actually level with the American people, and I don't think he will do that. It's not in his character, and also he would face pretty big legal jeopardy if he were to do that.
You think he'll go to his grave with this and just haunting him?
That's hard to say. That's hard to say. Wow. But it could happen, because it takes years. The secret is so big, and I saw it in working on The Secret Race with Tyler Hamilton, who was Lance's lieutenant for years. It's very heavy to tell the truth. It's very difficult. It takes a lot of courage. In a way, it's harder than anything they did in this
book. It sounds a little like sour grapes from a guy writing that book.
Well, it's tough. Tyler told the truth because he was brought before a federal investigator. He was brought before a grand jury, and he'd planned to take the secret to his grave. But
last question for you, Mr. Coyle, and that is, since you spent so much time writing two books about Tour de France and about Lance Armstrong, do you like him?
You know, he's a complicated guy. I think he's got a light side. He's got a light side, but he's got also a very dark side. I will say that I wouldn't be stoked if he were to, like, be my neighbor or date my daughter.
Right. Okay. That says all we need to know.
His determination, and there are things about him to admire. It's, you know, the story's bigger than Lance. It's a story about this world and this world that he went into, that Tyler went into, and that when you really learn about that world and see the darkness and the complication, you can't help but wonder, you know, what would I have done there?
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Again, the book is called The Secret Race, Inside the Hidden World of the Tour de France Doping Cover-Ups and Winning at All Costs, author Dan Coyle. Thanks so much for the time. We enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dan.
A couple of very pretty actresses on the program today. Kathleen Robertson talking about the season finale of Boss joins us later on today. And from Alex Cross, Rachel Nichols will be here as well. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
I feel so bad for Rachel.
Rachel, she got paid.
This looks good to me.
I know. But say that again.
This looks good to me.
I will come over this table. You may go. You may say, I'm going to go. But you can't look at that trailer and go, wow, this looks good to me. Alex Cross really looks good to me.
That trailer looked good to me.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
You think?
It turns out, but it looks good to me.
It doesn't
it's subjective,
look good to anyone.
Ralph.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not.
I thought it was.
No. There are people
who want a good movie.
There are people who will say, I will go see this, and those will say, I won't go see this, but there's no one except for you saying, this looks good
looks
to
good.
Me.
All I can tell you is my reaction from watching.
All I can tell you is this character was previously played by Morgan Freeman.
Oh. Well, it's not going to be that good.
That's what I'm saying. You ever see Kiss the Girls?
I don't think
so.
That
was a good thriller.
I don't think so.
Same, based on the same author, the same character, Alex Cross.
Bean, your take on this one?
This movie does look good.
Oh, well, all right. Maybe it's Bean then, too. Maybe
my lips didn't even move.
Yeah, maybe it's Bean.
That was me playing
Bean. It's Kevin and Bean. All right, voice. Fair enough. We have our next victim. In terms of the TV shows that will not make it this new fall season, NBC has announced they've pulled the plug on its Wednesday night show, Animal Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
About the animal hospital and the crazy people who worked there. And Crystal the monkey was jumping around. She was a nurse there or something. She
today,
had a job
I carry
the at
the
animal hospital.
On my shoulders. Today,
well, the good news is it's being replaced by Whitney. So,
Dodge Journey.
So NBC first they giveth and then they taketh away and then they giveth crap.
They had Whitney and Community both in the wings as mid-season replacement shows, and they're going with Whitney.
Yep.
Wow,
come on, Whitney's hilarious. She has got a boyfriend, and they sure come from different points of view that are often at cross purposes.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. She likes to dance around in her underwear as if she had a body. PETA, by the way, is very thrilled. Ecstatic, they say, about the series being canceled.
What was the...
Well, I imagine people get the idea PETA. Having a monkey at home is fun.
And the whole show was filled with animals, too. I mean, it was a veterinary clinic is where it was set,
right.
So they used a lot of animals on set as well.
And that was the problem. PETA spokesperson says, the cancellation of Animal Practice sends the strong message that using animals for cheap laughs on TV shows is archaic and uninteresting to today's viewers, are sophisticated enough to know that it's not only putting a monkey in a lab coat not funny, it's also cruel.
Same with the Halloween costume.
Yeah,
you guys got to be on PETA's side for this one, then.
Introduce them to Lisa May, who's judging the animal costume contest for Halloween.
Unless you don't work them 10 hours a day.
Yeah, well, at least someone gets paid for it. At least it's for a purpose. At least it makes me laugh when I see a monkey in a lab coat.
This
something good comes
purpose.
Out of it.
Let's move on.
This Hollywood is a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy in Hollywood.
Is that
They're
right?
saying, this is the week. Let's see if we can drive Ralph out of entertainment and get him into his second choice of his career, being a parole officer.
Why? What happened?
Because on the heels of the announcement that Heathcliff is being made into a major motion picture.
Right.
Heathcliff, which is the less funny Garfield.
And you hate Garfield.
There's only one thing less funny than Garfield, and that's Heathcliff. It's another freaking orange cat, only this one isn't even as mildly amusing as Garfield is.
But they're making a full movie out of it?
Oh, sure. Heathcliff's going to kick some trash cans. sure, he'll take that trash can lid and he'll put, like, the bones of a fish on it, and that'll be his plate.
Heathcliff, no one should terrify the neighborhood.
Ew.
But Heathcliff just won't be undone, playing pranks on everyone.
He plays pranks, Ralph. How can that be a miss?
On the heels of that, they're announcing 20th Century Fox, the big-budget big screen version of Family Circus.
Yay!
All right!
You know the comic strip Family Circus?
Yeah.
With the kids, all it's Billy and Dolly and Jeff and PJ. They are sure crazy kids. And who did it? Not me. And there's like a little ghost that says, not me, on his t-shirt. And he's the guy who broke the vase. F you! Where did Billy get to the dinner table? Look at all these dotted lines go all over the house. Billy sure didn't go directly to the dinner table.
They're making a movie out of that?
Yes!
This movie does look good.
No, it doesn't, Dean. And then as if the 1-2-3 punch. This is the uppercut that sets me up and makes me drop my hands.
Okay.
And then the jab is Family Circus.
All right.
So the Heathcliff uppercut, Family Circus jab, and now here comes the cross.
Where's the roundhouse?
Here comes the cross. Here comes the knockout punch. They are rebooting the Ernest movies. Remember Ernest?
Yes,
Ernest
he
died. Goes to camp. Ernest goes to jail. Ernest goes to college. There were 9 Ernest movies.
It does seem like it overstayed its welcome.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean, Vern?
But,
know
but
what I mean?
He's dead.
Remember
that
him?
Guy's dead.
Jim Varney? Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Vern. Know what I mean? By the way, these movies were all based on car commercials, if you remember properly. That's how Ernest got started.
That's right.
Hey, come on down here. Give you a deal. Know what I mean? He'll give you a deal. Know what I mean?
So they're going to have to find a new actor?
Yeah, in Son of Ernest. The new movie Son of Ernest, where Ernest's son now says, know what I mean?
They do have that catchphrase.
Stop it! Stop it!
I have to ask, Ralph, just based on the last 2 minutes on this show, on Heathcliff and Family Circus and The Return of Ernest, Alex Cross doesn't look that bad, does he?
No. Alex Cross is freaking Citizen Kane. Compared to these 3 movies.
Wow.
Come on.
So stop it?
I'm with you on that.
Wow, what a week.
By the way, fast forward 2 years from now when Kevin goes, I think the Family Circus movie looks good.
Yeah, it looks loud. I think I'll go.
Depends.
Billy's really
good.
Loud in it. Not me, the ghost, is really loud in this film. I'm going to go.
What if Tyler Perry's in it, Kevin?
Oh, that would be the only thing that would make it perfect. Tyler Perry is PJ in Family Circus. I will meet not me's soul at the gates of hell.
I guess they figure that this is a comic strip that's in newspapers all over the country. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people must read them.
It's the one that everyone skips over to get to the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
It's the one you pass over to get to Doonesbury. Ugh. I'm exhausted. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jillian Jacobs of Community is 30 years old today. Chris Kattan. I hope he's in Family Circus. Night at the Roxbury fame and Saturday Night Live is 42. Trey Parker turns 43 years old today. John Favreau. Oh, I hope he directs Family Circus. That'd be awesome. He is 46. Ty Pennington. You know him as the host of Extreme Makeover Home Edition. He gives people houses. That is a good job.
And they put them up in like
everyone
an
loves
hour.
To see you. Everybody's happy to see you when you come to the door.
That's true.
Because they know they're getting a new house. He's 48. Evander Holyfield is 50 years old. And actor John Lithgow, one of the best, celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Blink-182 coming up this hour. Also, Imagine Dragons, that song, It's Time, that everyone likes so much, and some Dirty Heads. Earlier today, we were talking about that guy in Massachusetts, that total dork who won the $30 million, and he just broke up with his girlfriend like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm so glad she's not around here anymore. He just laughed in her face, basically, with his $30 million giant oversized check. What's it going to be like for her when he shows up on a red carpet in about a month with a supermodel?
Yeah.
She's going to love it.
You think?
She's going to be like, love that.
Hey, I dated that dork when he was poor. Now look at the supermodel that he's with. It's no fun to see the person that your beloved moves on to after you guys break up, right?
Any breakup is tough, but I think it is much worse. It is much more compounded when, even if you don't like that person, even if you're not interested, even if you did the breaking up,
right.
When you hear the news after the fact of my ex is dating who? Like Demi Moore, for example, this week, her friends say she is emaciated. She's not eating. She's drinking. She's miserable.
She's
not
the one that broke it off with Ashton Kutcher.
Not so much because of the breakup, because he cheated on her and she ended the relationship. But now he has to see her making the rounds with Mila Kunis on his arm.
Yeah.
And friends say she is insanely jealous and miserable that even though she's a movie star and very attractive, Ashton Kutcher has traded up, and now he's got Mila Kunis on top of the fact that she has to deal with a breakup, which is always difficult.
Yeah, Demi Moore is hot, is great, is fine, but not compared to Mila Kunis.
I know.
It's a step up. So,
yeah.
And that's hard. You know, that's the worst thing about being in the show business is that the person you break up with always has that chance to go up a notch because there's always somebody even a little bit hotter, a little bit richer, a little bit more talented, a little bit more in the white hot spotlight of pop culture at the moment. So.
Well, we want to take phone calls from you with your stories of, and how should we phrase this? You broke up with your significant other, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and then they seriously upgraded.
Right.
Yeah.
You got upgraded.
It hurt you even more so because the next person your significant other was with was special.
It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be a celebrity.
Be great if it was.
Although it'd be great if it was. But could be a doctor.
Upgrading anyway. Yeah.
Upgrading.
Could be a millionaire.
You're working at Foot Locker, and your girlfriend ends up with a brain surgeon. That's the next guy in line. You lose, sir. You lose twice. We're looking for two-time losers here.
So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And what's particularly bad when it does involve celebrities, like in Demi Moore's case, not only is Ashton Kutcher's new girlfriend 20 years younger than she is.
Yeah.
20, by the way. 49, 29, right?
Yeah.
She's also very famous. She's on in movies, red carpets, magazine covers. She just got named the sexiest woman alive in Esquire magazine. So Demi Moore is going through an airport probably today, going somewhere to cry.
Yeah.
And
there's
Mila Kunis' face looking at her from a magazine on the newsstand.
Yeah. It says sexiest woman alive.
Sexiest woman alive.
A list that Demi Moore's not on anymore. That's rough.
She's thinking, I would rather Ashton Kutcher had died after we broke up than end up with Mila Kunis.
I think that's the thing. It's not so much that you want that person back, but you don't want them to succeed as well as they do. It's a little bit of that Schadenfreude
thing. Does it just make you look bad?
It makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
Because not only are you half of a failed relationship, but then that person goes on to do so gloriously well without you.
Yeah. And in some cases, you haven't moved on yet, or you have and it's not
that
great.
Or there's some residual affection there.
Right.
And you have mixed feelings about the breakup. And then on top of it, to have someone just score huge on some level better than you is really putting salt in the wound.
Yeah.
I remember I was dating a young lady who was this was early on in my dating career. I didn't make this mistake again, but she was severely religious, had very strong religious feelings. And so sex was out of the question. Even though she wanted to, she could not bear to cross that line before marriage because that was just not her set of morals that she was strictly adhering to.
Right.
And it caused an issue in our relationship. And so that relationship ended, and the next girl I dated was a stripper. And I ran into her some months later, and she said, through mutual friends, I heard who you're dating, and it really chaps my ass. I said, but you weren't interested in doing that. She goes, I was interested, but I had bigger issues. Now here you go off gallivanting with that. And she was so furious, and I couldn't comprehend why, but now I recognize that it was an upgrade, something she could not offer. The next person did offer, and it made her frustrated.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, too, because, and again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have stories of you being replaced by someone way better than you. Logically, Demi Moore doesn't want to be with Ashton Kutcher. She's over it. She divorced him because he cheated on her, and that's not what she wants in her life.
Correct.
She knows that she's done with him. But I don't doubt these stories for a minute that it still really ticks her off that he's with somebody so hot.
I don't know anybody who is so emotionally healthy that they don't feel some twinge or pang of jealousy or resentment. There's some negative connotation that always comes with when you find out the person you broke up with is now dating someone new.
And with the Ashton Kutcher thing, it's like he did not pay any price, it seems, for being a big fat cheat.
That's upgraded. True.
He upgraded. He's got the show. He's making tons of, like...
Even the cheating, he was with like two girls in a hot tub in San Diego.
Yeah.
Found out about it. So then his wife busts up with him, and then he moves on to the hottest girl in the world.
To Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Sexiest woman in the world. And good point, Lisa. He also, his career has never been hotter. He literally is the highest paid person on television right now, on top of that. And that's all without Demi Moore.
Well, is he happy, though?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yes, he is. All right. We're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back with your telephone calls. We want to hear the stories of what happened. You guys broke up, and then he or she went on to somebody way better than you. Actually, we can take Anthony real quick before the break, and then we'll come back with some others at 1-800-520-1067. Anthony, thanks for calling. What happened, dude?
Hey, guys. Okay. Well, I was dating this one girl, and I was kind of saving myself for marriage, you know, and she wasn't with that. And eventually we broke up, and next person she's with was a porn star.
A male
porn star? Porn star?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Well, you just took Ralph's story and stole it and made it your own.
Oh, yeah.
With the stripper.
Dude.
So you were a virgin at the time, Anthony?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You weren't giving her what she needed, and now she got more than she needed after you.
Oh, yeah.
More often than she probably needed it.
By a lot.
Oh, dude, he destroyed her after she broke up with you.
Yeah, she's in a wheelchair now.
Does that help that she destroyed it? That he destroyed her or no?
Hopefully she's too used.
Did you immediately say, F this, I'm no longer going to stay a virgin. This is ridiculous?
Yeah, I said, what a waste of time.
See, we all learned a valuable lesson today. Right. Thank you, Anthony. 1-800-520-106. Everyone, want to hear your stories next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Blink 182 is wrong. Everything is not going to be fine because you guys just broke up and you've been replaced by somebody way hotter. That's what we're talking about here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. It all started with a story, Ralph, you told us about Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Apparently crushed, according to Star Magazine, because Ashton Kutcher moved on and upgraded seriously with the sexiest woman in the world, Mila Kunis, right?
She was honked up when they broke up in the first place. It was a difficult breakup for her, losing her husband, Ashton Kutcher. And then he starts dating Mila Kunis, and friends and sources are saying she's just beside herself.
It's, I think you're right.
The worst
part about that is that she is on magazine covers and stuff. Everywhere she goes, she must see Mila Kunis. That's rough.
Can't be fun. Kevin, on line three, is in a similar story where he lost someone and then she moved on to somebody, well, let's be honest, way better. Kevin, welcome to the show. What happened, dude?
Hi. She ended up getting with Mike Trout. She still is a Hooters girl.
She's a Hooters girl. And now she's with Angel Mike Trout?
Yep.
And you're an Angels fan?
Yep.
Mike Trout maybe end up being one of the greatest baseball players ever.
Yeah, he had the most unbelievable rookie season of all time, practically. Broke every record. How did that happen? How did she even meet him?
She actually works at Hooters, and he came into there.
Ah.
Yeah. And she was sold.
She was sold.
Oh, she was sold. She was sold.
Okay, great. Yeah. How did you find out that she was dating him after you?
Facebook.
Facebook.
Ouch.
I put it on Facebook, too.
Dating an Angel.
Are you still an Angels fan?
Yeah, definitely I'm still an Angels fan. And, you know, I didn't really have a problem with it because it's like a move up. It's like after you get with me, you have to be with someone.
That's how you look at it? Does that help?
Whatever you need to tell yourself, Kevin, whatever it takes. Whatever helps you sleep at night, son.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. It was definitely a move up.
That's the only place you can go. After me, there's only one guy better. Superstar baseball player Mike Trout.
Let's go to Gina real quick on line two, find out what it's like being the girl in this situation. Hi, Gina. Thanks a lot for listening and for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
So I'm just a normal accountant at a law firm, and my boyfriend Mike breaks up with me. 3 weeks later, he's going out with a model. A hand model, but a model nonetheless.
Wait a minute.
There's only one kind of sex they have.
But it's pretty.
A hand model.
How's the rest of her? Do you know?
Huh?
How's the rest of her?
Yeah, it's all right, but her hands are beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Some hot
hands. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's end with Mike here. He's on line one. Mike, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. So you guys break up, then what happens?
2 weeks after we broke up, I was watching the MTV Music Awards, and the Kiss Cam was going around, and it landed on Shaun White, and lo and behold, there's my ex-girlfriend and Shaun White kissing on the Kiss Cam.
Found out about it.
It was no problem to me, man. I mean, it's just...
the only one place to go from you is up.
You're a liar. If you had no problem with that, and you found out by watching the VMAs, and you saw it on television.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of surprised me, but it's always that thing I could Google and have a good laugh about, so.
A good laugh? You mean a good cry. You know what those words mean, right, Mike?
Maybe he's moved on to a good laugh now.
I've moved on to better things, and, you get someone bipolar, it's definitely, a better look when you go.
Liar!
So.
You're dating Angelina Jolie now, right?
You can say that.
We could, but we wouldn't because it wouldn't be true. Thanks.
Rachel Nichols joins us in a few minutes here in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, one of the stars of the new Alex Cross starring Tyler Perry, which I think is still confusing to a lot of people that that's happening. But she will describe why it is the way it is. Plus, Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL weekly picks. Kevin, you look like a man who's very much in love right now.
I love crazy Afro lady.
Now, we don't know her name or anything about her.
Nope.
She doesn't ever give us any other information except for the very important bullet points that she leaves for us on the Afro line. Right?
We don't even know if she's crazy, but, you know, you have to guess.
Right.
Because that's all the information we have is what you hear. And I'm guessing she's crazy, and I love her for it. You know how I like
what
the crazy.
What kind of crazy? What do you think is going on with her?
You mean what?
You think she's hearing voices?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Think she's okay.
Yes, as much of that as can possibly be happening. Because she's always talking about specific people, specific names, but there's no possible way to make sense of it. I'll give you the first example.
All Kim Milman Bujarski had to do for her $20 was say, gimme. Margaret Starr hasn't said yet what she did for her $20. Oh, the shoes are in the evidence area of the police department.
Okay, so that's the whole call.
But
so you don't know any more than we do. Make
do
up
you think those are real people and that's a real thing, or do you think it's all in her fertile imagination?
I would guess. I don't know if they're real people, but I don't think the situation
is she commenting
is
on
real.
Something that actually happened
I
in
doubt
her
it.
Life?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I would I would suggest she's either making it up or she knows people's names and then just weaves them into her. I don't know.
Is she calling from the American Horror Story House?
She does call from the asylum. Yeah, she is calling a lot. I'll tell you that.
All right.
And I'm glad she doesn't name me personally, even though I'm in love with her, Lisa.
Lisa May, the police are just pulling out of evidence the poem that Charles Manson wrote for me, so I'm sure those shoes will come out of evidence at some time.
Okay. Two calls, both involve shoes, both involve evidence. What can be going on?
Lisa May is somehow involved with Charles Manson.
Well, I call him Charlie, but...
Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck.
Dude, to his friends. I don't know what this is about. I do know things are getting serious.
That's some serious stuff. I'm going to have to take a DNA test in order to prove that Margaret Starr is not my mother.
Okay. So
why do you think she's calling us on the Afro line and leaving this information?
Well, maybe because we now play her.
Maybe these are all serious messages that she's getting. She's Al-Qaeda, isn't she?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
We're unwilling dupes. And she's given out some kind of information.
Oh, I see.
She does have one favorite person to focus on, though, even though she mentions a lot of people in a lot of her calls. She mentions Harvey Levin quite a bit.
Yes.
From TMZ.
It does look like Harvey Levin knew that my family owned Macy's and somehow thought that Federated, the corporation that now owns it, had handed me the cash.
So Harvey knows that she has cash from the sale of their Macy's.
I don't know what's going on with her and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, but he never even reported when President Obama roofied this woman. So he's in the bag.
Back to Harvey.
Harvey Levin of TMZ is not laughing. Well, we sold Macy's 1950, maybe a little earlier. Definitely not later than 1950.
How old do you guys think this woman is?
No, I think...
I picture...
Early 40s.
Oh, I picture 55.
Yeah,
60.
Me too.
Really?
Me too. But
really?
It's impossible to tell. She could be 25.
Yeah,
I have no idea. But yeah, I'm picturing someone in her 50s too.
The black and white pearl necklaces for which Harvey Levin was willing to go to jail and even prison are in New York.
That's crazy. They're in New York.
For the update.
Did you not realize that? She occasionally goes to the Jackson family.
No, when Janet Jackson was called a queen, it was meant to mean stuck-up snot.
Okay, because that's a conversation we were having that we need clarification
nope.
on?
There's no context whatsoever. Make up your own mind on this woman. And finally, for the Afro line today, Crazy Woman Edition.
So far, Chabad has run twice for three empty boxers, and it is their fault that I can't go to Goodwill anymore.
What does that mean?
She can't go to Goodwill anymore, Bean.
This right, but more why clear. With the empty boxes in Chabad? What is she talking about?
Bean.
There must be somebody out there who can decode this.
We really do need to find out more.
Here's your answer.
That bitch is crazy.
That's right, Bob. Smoke, smoke. You want some smoke? Hey, you want smoke? You got smoke? You want smoke?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend for us coming up next. Who do the Eagles have this weekend?
The Eagles cannot lose this weekend, my friend. Wow. Cannot lose.
They're playing the Dolphins?
Bye week.
Oh, okay.
Same thing. Just as much of a guarantee. Oh. Anyway, we'll talk about the games that Sal wants to talk about and help you win some money coming up next. Then, did we mention Rachel Nichols coming in the 8 o'clock hour as well? First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:52.
Aren't the Dolphins tied for first place in the AFC
East?
Yes, they
are. Yes,
are
they are.
So, come on now.
Is everyone tied for first place in the AFC?
I think all four teams have the exact same record, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, are you going to be in Vegas this weekend?
No.
I am.
Ha! You win.
I am. And if you're going to be in Vegas this weekend, and maybe you're like me and you're leaving after work today to spend the weekend in Vegas, come see me and Kevin Smith. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Tropicana, the Laugh Factory Comedy Club. At the Trop in Las Vegas. We will be there Saturday night at 10 p.m. doing our show. Saturday night I will be there with Kevin Smith. We'd love to see you. If you're going to be in Vegas, we'll be there too. You can go to troplv.com for all the details and to get tickets. But they're getting close to sold out, I think. So.
It's Friday.
Once again, Saturday. Today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. And then Sunday.
Monday would be different than the actual day that it is, which is Saturday.
Tuesday.
What the hell?
I was wondering what you would find.
I'm guessing that's the first time the Moody Blues have ever been played on K-Rock.
And rightfully so.
That's what I'm guessing.
So
your
show is not Tuesday afternoon? Is that what you're telling me? It's actually Saturday night?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Okay.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Night!
I should have that one.
You should have that one. But that would be helpful. So that's why you don't
have
that
one. It's not our goal. You know
that. No, I know it isn't. NBC has announced it is pulling its Wednesday night show, Animal Practice. No more Crystal the Monkey in a white lab coat. No more lions in the hospital.
I like that Justin Kirk, though. I think he'll end up on something else. He's a real good actor.
Is he the guy from Weeds?
Yes.
Yeah, he was great.
And I love Ty Levine, too. Tyler Levine was also in that show. I'm a big fan of his. So I hope everyone involved goes on to bigger and better projects. The good news is Whitney is replacing it. Oh, wait a minute. I thought there was good news here. I'm not seeing any. Pete is happy about it, by the way. They said that using animals for cheap laughs is archaic and uninteresting, to which I say, nope. Nothing funnier than a monkey doing stuff, Pete. That's just life. That's the truth. Right?
It's science.
Hey, geeks will be happy to know that they're trying to break the record for the largest gathering of people dressed up as Star Trek characters this weekend. Yeah, it's going to happen in London. Big Trekker convention going on there in London this weekend. The current record stands in here in the United States. Las Vegas had 1,040 people dressed up as Star Trek characters.
Game.
London trying to beat that this weekend, to which I say, USA! USA!
I'd rather we didn't have that record.
How dare you,
I'd be
sir.
Good with that.
All five Star Trek captains are going to be at this convention. Shatner, Patrick Stewart, Avery Brooks, Kate Mulgrew, and Scott Bakula. How about that? You as excited as I am?
Game.
Wish you were in London right now?
No.
I know you do. Kim Kardashian... porn star Kim Kardashian is a hot mess. Literally. She was in Florida this week with Kanye West, Miami Airport. They saw her in black leather pants, a black fur jacket, and gold stiletto pumps It was 92 humid degrees in Miami that day.
Oh, my God.
Really? Are you that seriously?
92 in Florida just feels like...
She's an idiot. Jenny McCarthy. She's got a book or something out. She's talking about her upbringing. She had a strange teen idol. You know the girls when they're teenagers have posters of boys on their wall?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Probably today would be Justin Bieber. For Jenny McCarthy, it was Jesus.
Really?
I had a Jesus poster on my wall. I had I Love Jesus t-shirts. Jesus was my Bieber, she said. Now that's a t-shirt. Jesus
wow.
is my Bieber.
Wow.
Give those out at prayer camp. Yeah, that's
I don't
that's
know how
odd.
To react to that.
That's odd for a girl who ended up showing her cans in Playboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best thing she ever did. Then she started talking and ruined it for everyone. And how would you like to get a wake-up call from One Direction?
I know a lot of little girls
would. I wouldn't answer the phone if they called. I know that.
They have partnered up with a nonprofit education charity called Get Schooled. And apparently there's some sort of contest that if you donate money to the website, you get entered into a drawing. And one lucky student will get a wake-up call to get the student out of bed and on their way to class.
I hope they sleep through it.
I will accept a wake-up call from One Direction. If it's like an alarm, if it's like a self-inflicted gunshot wound or something, that would be a good way for me to wake up from One Direction. And we can work something out. I can donate. And sad news today, Larry Sloan has passed away.
I don't know who that is.
You may not know Larry, Kevin, but you sure know his work and love his work.
I do.
Co-founder of Mad Libs, the party game Mad Libs. You know, the game where you tell a story and then you fill it in, you ask people for words and then you read it back and it's hilarious.
Sometimes.
Yeah, he was 89 years old today. Over 110 million slim little paperback copies of Mad Libs have been sold over the years.
Really? Is that a thing that people still do? Or they
yeah.
still sell those?
Oh, they, absolutely. They're still in bookstores everywhere. Still very popular with the kids. He died from... I need a name of a disease. Name of a disease.
Cancer.
Cancer. Died of cancer at the age of 89. That's not funny. It's not funny at all. Maybe this doesn't work. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Lithgow, 67 years old today. Evander Holyfield turns 50. Ty Pennington, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, 48 years old. John Favreau, director of the Iron Man movies.
Isn't he like an executive producer on Revolution?
He is. Yes, and he directed the pilot.
Yeah.
46 years old. Trey Parker turns 43. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live, but most importantly, Night at the Roxbury. We didn't get some of that What Is Love song.
I was waiting for you to say that all day, and I was happy to not hear it.
What? You love that movie. There we go. Uh-huh. Baby, don't hurt yeah. me.
Beginning of my understanding that Kevin's movie tastes were different from mine.
Yeah.
Is how excited he was about Night at the Roxbury
you
when
guys
it came out.
I love that movie. I
you
loved
guys
it.
Exaggerate that greatly.
I love that movie. You said you loved that movie.
You did say you loved that movie. That is true.
That happened.
I may have gone.
No, you said you loved it. You got back from it and said you loved that movie. And we mocked you seriously because of that statement. Mm. You were knocking your head to the
I
one
wasn't.
Side.
I was not doing that.
Omar Gooding from Hanging with Mr. Cooper is 36 years old, and actress Julian Jacobs from Community celebrates her 30th birthday today. No bell for Julian? There we go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Not only do we have some NFL picks from Cousin Sal coming up, but he tells producer Dave, Kevin, that Sal has a $1 million idea for us.
Fantastic.
Very excited about it. Hi, Sal.
$1 billion. He said million?
He said million yeah. with an M.
Billion, guys.
With a B.
Lots of money.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
These picks are going to be, forget it. It doesn't matter. These dumb picks after a while.
All right. What's
so,
your...
Okay, so, here it is.
All right.
So every October, you guys know, the NFL pays tribute to breast cancer awareness by, you know, they adorn all their players with pink.
It's, right.
Sure. Ribbons on the jerseys, pink mini towels, pink cleats, the Gatorades, everything's pink. And
right.
it becomes maddening for the casual fan. And no one really wants to say anything because it's touchy. But... for someone like me who watches 75 games each Sunday, you just want to jump off a building.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a three-hour Bubblicious commercial every Sunday. But I have a solution.
All right.
Here's what happens. The DirecTV, the NFL, and National Breast Cancer Foundation team up and create a device in your TV so that the more you donate, the more the pink goes away.
Oh, I like that.
That's smart.
So then if you donate a lot, it goes back to normal.
Yes, yes. They color correct the screen depending on how generous you are.
If you're not generous.
Well, I don't see how it makes us $1 million. It sounds like a good idea for the breast cancer charities.
Okay. Well, it doesn't stop us. Hopefully you do this with other TV shows. Like you donate to the Diabetes Foundation and Honey Boo Boo's mother loses like 2 or 3 chins. And maybe you could fix it with the radio, too. You donate to like the Dementia Care Foundation and there's a mechanism in your radio. All of a sudden, Doc on the Rock doesn't sound like a babbling old buffoon.
I like it. Now you're onto something. Now you're onto something that helps everybody. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Billion dollars.
You can read Cousin Sal at grantland.com and, of course, follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Before we get into this weekend's picks, I have to ask, because last night, was it a disaster for gamblers? And please explain what happened near the end of that Thursday night football game where San Francisco declined the 2 points. What was the deal with that?
It's very complicated, and my wife and I almost divorced. After 10 years, she finally took interest in what I was rambling about.
That was that last night?
This. Yes, and it took like 30 minutes, and of course, it was no success. But, all right, depending on when you bet the 49ers, you were giving it either 7 or 8 points, or 7.5 points. So 49ers are up 7. There's 40 seconds left. Seahawks quarterback goes back to pass on 4th and 12. He passes for 11 yards, but because it was holding in the end zone, it's a safety. So the 49ers should have won by 9, except that they were short with the pass. This is so confusing. So the game would be over. So they went out on down. So Jim Harbaugh, the 49ers coach, has a chance to decide, do I decline the penalty and then we win by 7, and then we could just take a knee, or do I take the penalty and it's a safety and we're up by 9 and then they onside kick to us? And that son of a bitch declined the penalty, and the 49ers won by 7 and not 9.
Did he make the right call, though, just in terms of being certain that there couldn't be any last-second heroics and that he was going to win the game?
Well, here's the thing. It's almost a lock either way you look at it. If you kneel down with 2 plays up 7, or if you take an onside kick up 9. But I don't know. I mean, these defenses are jumping. When you're kneeling down on the ball 40 seconds, you know, it could be a fumble and he could run it back for a touchdown. I'd rather be up 2 scores. Plus, there are NFL tiebreaker procedures later in the season that say in the playoffs, like, you should have more points than the other team. It's like the 4th or 5th tiebreaker, but whatever. It's always good to have more points.
It's really just that you lost a lot of money, right?
Yes, it's a total non-issue if there's no gambling implications.
But it is funny that a choice like that is made on the field by a coach with a few seconds left in a game can affect so many people and hundreds of thousands of dollars in Las Vegas. I mean, that was a big deal last night, right?
Absolutely, and more money was on the 49ers. As I said, the line went from 7 to 8, and he better watch his kneecaps because there's going to be some angry guys out there.
Great stuff. All right, let's take a look at what games you like for this weekend. We start with the Texans and the Ravens. What say you, Cousin Sal?
All right. So now, both these teams looked like a huge pile of crap last week. And the Ravens actually beat my Cowboys after a miserable performance. I feel like they shouldn't even count that game in the standings. But anyway, the Texans got torched by an angry Aaron Rodgers. Here's the difference between the two teams. Houston is good. They have the best running back in the game, is Arian Foster, which works out because the Ravens have given up over 200 yards on the ground in each of the last 2 games. 200 yards, and somehow they won both
games.
Wow. They're without their leader, though. Ray Lewis tore a tricep muscle in his non-stabbing arm. I think this one gets ugly. Texans win big, 28-13. Give the 6.5. Take Houston.
All right. How about the Packers, who rebounded nicely in the game that you just mentioned against Houston last week? They're playing the Rams.
Packers, like, they've had some bad luck. They were victims of the worst call in the history of American football when the fake referees cheated and gave Bean Seahawks a win.
Right.
They went up against a feisty, emotional Colts team who rallied for their sick coach. I think they're back on track. They killed last week. Rodgers had a monster game. The Packers, I think they're not effing around mode, and the Rams pay for it. Too many speedy wide receivers on that fast turf. Take Green Bay -6, 37-20 Packers.
Right. Pittsburgh Steelers fans have been very disappointed mostly this season. They've got Cincinnati this week. What do you think?
And they're a team that's decimated by injury. Like, I'm surprised they even are able to compete as much as they have been. When you lose, like, 2 or 3 offensive linemen a game, you can't run the ball. You can't do, like, combination blocks where the guards pull. And you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
I mean, it's crazy. And
But I think Vegas is still treating them like the old Steelers. They made them a favorite in this game. The Bengals are an upstart team. They're better at home. I say take underdog Bengals at home Sunday night, 24-17 Cincinnati.
So you think the Bengals who lost to the Browns are going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think either the Bengals or Browns are going to win that division and not the Ravens or Steelers. I haven't mapped it out quite yet how it's going to happen, but I think those two teams, they're just too decimated by injuries and going to fall apart.
All right, Cousin Sal was 2-1 last week. He's 10-8 overall. So it's the Texans -6.5 over the Ravens, the Packers -6 over the Rams, and the Bengals +1.5 over the Steelers. You can read more from Cousin Sal about this weekend at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at @TheCousinSal and watch his cousin Jimmy Kimmel late night on ABC. Thanks, Sal. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, fellas.
Actress Rachel Nichols has just joined us here in the studio at the Kevin and Bean Show from the new film Alex Cross, which she thinks is the reason we brought her in. But in reality, Rachel, it's an intervention, sweetheart. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
We didn't know how to bring this up. So what happened? You started to tell us right as the song was running out about a tragic incident in an airport. What happened?
I knew this story was going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
I should have kept my mouth shut, but it's too early. I was saying that, you know, I do travel a lot, but any day that I travel, if I'm in an airport, the rule is it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right.
So, you know, cocktail hour is pretty much whenever and wherever. And I was flying with a girlfriend to New York, and at Chili's, you're only allowed to put 3 alcoholic beverages on 1 credit card, but I was paying for both of us. So it was suddenly 6, and we got kicked out of the
Chili's. Kicked out of Chili's at an airport?
Chili's to go. It wasn't even a real Chili's.
That's
it was just
dumb
the speedy Chili's. That's what I thought,
but
they asked us to leave.
Maybe they just looked at you and your friend and just saw trouble.
Juliet was like entertaining people. She made friends with an elderly couple on a cruise. I mean, she was just, you know, she was all jazz hands and smiles. They should have let us hang out.
That's our slogan, is all jazz hands and smiles.
I like it.
We're going to
start putting
that
on some t-shirts.
Come here. Jazz hands and smiles. It's always happy. Yeah.
So is that the secret? You do travel so much. It seems like you're half the time in, if this is possible, half the time in L.A., half the time in New York, and half the time in some other country in the world. Is that the secret, the way to get through all that traveling, is just to drink every day?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. when in an airport, 5 o'clock somewhere.
When thinking about going to the airport.
When thinking about going to the airport, right, the night before.
Correct,
going,
yes,
to the airport,
you have to prepare
the day after to,
yes,
recover.
Good. Here's what I think I know about Rachel from following her on Twitter. This is my understanding of how she treats her body, which is that she goes blotto. She eats anything she wants and drinks as much as she wants until she's going to pop. And then she flips a switch and she basically starves herself. And works
sure
out 10 hours every day.
Oh, he's following you closely. I swear to God.
He's totally that creepy guy.
He probably goes through your trash.
We'll come in. I did bring
some trash for him, actually.
Oh, well, good.
We'll come in on a random Tuesday, and he'll just go, Rachel Nichols is in Morocco.
No one asks.
You know what I mean.
You're not a part of the conversation at that point, and he follows too closely.
You know, August, I take all of August off. I go back east. I'm in Maine. I hang out with my family, a lot of lobster and fried clams and you know, drinking. And
you binge,
I take August off.
You binge and then you purge. That's
and
what
then
you do.
September's the new January.
Right.
So you come back and you get in shape. And you do 2 weeks with no carbs.
Are you one of those
sugar,
lucky people that can get back in good shape relatively easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called muscle memory.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
It's called All Women Hate You.
I did my 2 weeks in September of no gluten, no sugar, no carbs.
No alcohol,
no
by the way.
Food, no alcohol, 2-a-day workouts. So you do those
those
2 weeks and you really sort of go balls to the wall. And then, you know, you get back to normal after that August of.
Now, here's my cheesy Hollywood question, because I know people will want to know. Did you do that because you knew you were going to be on a lot of red carpets for Alex Cross? Is that why you were trying to get in shape for the movie?
You know, I came back after Labor Day thinking, okay, I've got to just, you know, get my I can't swear on the radio. Get my stuff together.
Right, sure.
And then once I was 2 weeks into the diet, I realized that Alex Cross was coming up in a couple of weeks. So I just kind of stuck with it. But yeah, I mean that's a huge part of it. That's a huge. You need
that
a motivator.
Sense.
You need a goal. You need the Alex Cross premiere on the 15th of October. I got to be looking.
Here's the dress that won't fit unless I do this.
Oh yeah, and by the way, I've actually done fittings before. Where the dress that I wore at the ESPYs when I presented last year, in the fitting, I actually popped the zipper.
Wow, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And nice. Then 4 days close. Later after like a juice cleanse.
Right. You said, no, don't make it. Just leave it where it is. I will fit in this damn dress.
I will fit into this dress with the broken zipper that you now have to repair.
Are we the last interview for Alex Cross since it's in theaters today? Is this it?
Yeah. I like to end with you guys.
Okay, then tell us
we
the
like
truth.
You
how
end
is it?
With us.
How is it really? Now that you don't have any more interviews, you can tell us the truth.
Okay. Oh yes, absolutely on live radio. No, it's great actually. I thought it turned out really well. I mean, obviously, yes, Tyler is doing something that's very different and very much out of his comfort zone. First of all, I don't know if any of you have met him, but he's one of the nicest, sweetest. It's just so easy to be around.
But I disliked him for all of the Madea stuff. Not a big fan at all. But then I saw him be interviewed on 60 Minutes, and I got that exact same feeling, which is this is a genuinely good person.
He's a great guy. So fun to work with. And you know, I get to work with him and Ed Burns. And Matthew Fox plays a fantastic bad guy, but I don't have any scenes with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually know how shredded he got until I saw the movie.
He looks scary.
Dude,
he does look scary.
He's awesome. Like, he's so good at it. But I can never look at him the same ever again.
Let me ask you this about Tyler Perry. And I'm fascinated, and I apologize if you've been asked this a million times. And this is the voice of Rachel Nichols here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the film Alex Cross in theaters today, and that is, he's a guy who has created an empire and has his fingers in a million different things and runs them all apparently like a genius. How does a guy like that not do everything in a movie? Like, how can he just be an actor? It seems like he would always have an opinion on how things should be done.
He could play your role as well.
Yeah, he right. could totally play my role. He could be Monica Ash and Alex Cross.
Right.
And he could do Tommy Kane.
He's
really
done it before.
And, yeah, absolutely. He's just, you know, I'm sure it's, and he talked about it with Ed Burns a lot, the fact that they are used to writing, directing, acting, producing, being sort of the end-all, be-all of the projects that they're involved in. You know, and he did a really good job of kind of relinquishing control and saying, okay, I'm going to do something completely different, and I'm going to let someone else be the boss, and it's going to be hard. Sure, there are days where it's much more difficult to do that than others, but he did a pretty good job.
Did he ever yell cut?
Not to my knowledge.
Just out of like having
cut.
Come on.
This is terrible. That explosion was lame.
I'm sorry. I'm not the director.
No. Well, I don't know who not to my knowledge. I don't know
who your director was for this film, but I'm sure Tyler... Who was it?
Rob Cohen.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's a big name, too, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Tyler Perry, I mean, there's a guy who's directed, you know, 10 movies or something like that. So
yes.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does know what he's doing.
All right, we need to take a break. Bean, just take it easy.
We're talking to Rachel Nichols.
I know. And she'll be here when we get back.
I will still be sitting right here.
We'll get her some of those little bottles of vodka. She likes those.
Okay. Oh, I'm not sure we have any that have any left in them, but
my
I'll check.
My publicist just started.
AWOL Nation on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 8:39.
Kathleen Robertson joins us in a half an hour or so from the show Boss season finale tonight on Starz. Rachel Nichols in studio with us now with her movie Alex Cross. Are you watching that Boss, Rachel? You seen that show Boss?
I haven't. Is that
Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah. The Kelsey Grammer show.
That's so good.
Great things about. I haven't seen that, and I haven't seen Homeland yet.
Oh,
I know. Okay, I knew
Rachel.
You
watching
my
Dexter?
Situation.
Get out.
No, I watch a lot of Parks and Rec.
That's fine, but there's gotta be some room for the others too.
I thought there would be more on that list. I
watch a lot of Parks and Rec. I watch a lot of 30 Rock. Watch a lot of Law and Order reruns.
You got to make some time for Homeland.
Watch a lot
you have
of football.
To.
Yeah,
a lot of football.
I will.
I see your New England T-shirt there.
Yeah, I'm a Pats fan, and I was a Pats fan when they were the worst in the league. I was a Pats fan when they were very good, and now I'm a Pats fan this season.
She just said during AWOL Nation, she just said the Pats are having such a rough year because they lost to the Cardinals, my team, and the Seahawks.
Beast
team. Hey, how about that?
I knew that my misery was making both of you happy. It's fine. We deserve to lose. We played horribly. It's disastrous.
They'll be fine. The Patriots are going to be fine. So if you have a down year, it's not like you have a drought decade like so many other teams do. How'd you like to be a Browns fan or somebody like that?
No, Richard? I can't.
You can't complain too much about being a Patriots
fan. I had to take the Browns in my pool 2 weeks ago. Obviously, they won last week. I had to take them 2 weeks ago, which they obviously lost, and it was just horrifying. I was like, I just can't even get behind this.
Even for a minute in an office pool.
Even no. for a
All right, listen, we're not going to have as much time as we'd like, as always. We mentioned Alex Cross. That comes out everywhere today. Please go see that with Rachel Nichols. and Tyler Perry and Matthew Fox, who is ridiculously ripped in this.
Yep.
But you are a huge television star around the world now for a show that has not started in the United States yet. And that must be kind of weird for you.
Yeah, you know, it is. We shot Continuum up in Vancouver from January till May, and then it premiered on Showcase in Canada and was this huge, huge, huge hit. And so now it's premiered kind of all over the world except in the U.S. And
that's
we're still
weird.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
So we're hoping to announce the U.S. network in a couple weeks, but we are going back for season two in January. So they just haven't finished the deal yet. So I was reprimanded about discussing it. But yeah, the show, I mean, the show is great. The show is really sort of...
It's a sensation in Canada, like one of the highest rated shows on the air, right?
Yes. Yes, it
Insane.
Is.
Insane. It's so funny to think that you have a show in Canada that's a huge hit and you're walking around in the United States and nobody's seen it.
Nobody's seen it. Oh, well, people have seen it, the ones that steal it. I had sure. to wait. I had to wait forever until production actually sent me DVDs of the first 10 episodes because I refused to steal it, but I hadn't seen any of the episodes. So all the people on Twitter were commenting about it, and I had no access to
it. Yeah. That's nice. That's nice that they get to see it before you.
Yeah, I felt totally, totally, totally at a loss.
And it's kind of a I'm hoping the Sci-Fi Network picks it up. It seems like that'd be a great place for it, right?
It would be a perfect place for it.
Hey, based on the kind of the show,
are you listening?
Yeah, you play a detective in the future, right?
Yeah, I mean, the quickest way to say it is I'm a cop from the future, the year 2077, fighting criminals from the future in the present day. The show sort of opens up in the year 2077, and I'm a cop, and we're about to kill the worst terrorist in the world, part of this group, Liberate. And while they've been in jail, they've created a device that forms a wormhole, and we all get sucked back in time 65 years.
And so then you're fighting in present day.
Yeah. With some of the tech from the future that still works. Like, it's very, very well done. And whenever you're dealing with time travel, there are so many questions, you know, that whole thing about the back to the future thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you change something in the past.
Yeah, it always has rules.
There are a lot of rules.
And a lot of people out there who have their own versions of what the rules should be.
Oh, you have no.
You run into those people
it's
all the time.
Like zombies.
How dare you?
People be like, how did you do this? Well, the space-time continuum. I don't understand. I didn't create it. I just
went in the wormhole.
In the wormhole.
I can't tell
they
you
told
how
me
it
there was a wormhole, and I went in it.
I just dove in, and I cannot answer your questions. Call Simon Barry, because he can do it.
Now, it's no 30 Rock, but have you seen a Looper yet, speaking of time travel?
I have not.
Do you go to the movies at all?
I do, actually, but although I saw, what did I see? Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes.
Oh, how good is that?
That's great.
How good is that?
I actually went twice. There are only two movies that I have paid to see in theaters more than once, and one was when I was in high school, and it was Titanic.
Sure. Oh, of
well,
course.
You were a teenage girl. What could you do?
I think I saw it six
he's
times.
He's sketching her.
And
Leo's so pretty.
Oh, so pretty. And then Moonrise Kingdom I saw.
Those are the two movies that you've seen twice.
No.
In the theater.
Those are the two movies that I've paid to see more than once.
Do you know that Bean went to Star Wars, the original Star Wars, over 100 times in a theater?
What?
Yes.
No.
Well.
Really?
Over 100 times.
Yeah. Listen to the disappointment in her voice.
In a theater. Over what span of time?
100 days.
You went every day for 100.
No, I'm just making that
by
part
the way,
up.
I totally believe. I was looking at Kevin like,
I sold it.
I believed it.
No, I mean, it was in theaters for a couple of years, so I probably saw it every couple of weeks or so. I probably saw it. But, you know, there weren't a lot of choices back then. There weren't that many movies.
There were more choices than that.
100 times.
Yeah, that's true.
100
after
times is...
10, 20, 30, 50 times, don't you go, okay, see it.
You really have to start thinking about what that actually means.
I mean, do you notice
times.
New things at times 35? You're like,
certainly.
I didn't notice that before.
I know you guys are going to find this difficult to believe, but there was a time where I was not the smooth lady killer that I am today.
No, stop lying.
I know it sounds ridiculous that I was at one time an awkward young man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's highly improbable. I didn't have
a lot of friends. How about on TV, though? What's the movie that you probably watch every single time it comes on? Like you've
when
seen
Harry
it 100
Sally
times.
Or Silence of the Lambs. I'm really at
what?
Two opposite ends of the spectrum there.
One of those two?
Literally, that's my answer. And if it's on, if Silence of the Lambs is on, I will watch it. If When Harry Met Sally is on, I will watch it. And Bridesmaids is a new favorite.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's an awesome movie.
I played that on loop in my trailer while I was in Vancouver.
So the whole crew is real tired of that.
I'm sure.
When you go to the movies, do you think, as an actress, you probably watch it differently than we do because you're wondering how they did it, right, and how it was made and how the actors do their stuff. I mean, are you able to forget your day job and just enjoy it as a fan?
You know, it's a funny question because after the Alex Cross premiere, we were at the after party and I was talking to Ed Burns and we said, you know, the first time you watch a movie that you're in, all you watch is yourself.
Sure.
It's all you do. You just watch the performance and you can't sort of get your head around the story or anything. So seeing it at the premiere was the second time both of us had seen it. We were like, it's better the second time.
Hey, I watched other people. Are you paranoid about how you look or how you act or how you...
You know, I
are you critical?
I think I'm very critical. And yeah. I think I find it hard to believe that anybody wouldn't be critical of themselves. You know, when they're on the screen, it's very large.
And do you approach it sort of like a learning thing as well?
Absolutely.
Every time you watch yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, I can honestly say I've never gone into something where I wasn't, you know, prepared and I hadn't done the work. And I mean, Matthew Fox didn't watch the movie. He's just not.
He won't.
No. And I don't know.
That means it's really him. That's really, he's really that guy.
That's what it
means. Matthew Fox is that
guy. To see themselves on screen. They just
some
won't
people
do
just,
it.
But... Some people hate it. And I don't hate it, but it is always funny. I have a very sort of sexy scene with Ed Burns in this. And just when it, yeah, oh, I finally get a bell. Yeah. It took that long to get one ding.
I think
really.
He likes Ed Burns.
That was for Ed Burns.
That was for Ed Burns.
We've mentioned you a lot. Never got the bell.
Ed Burns.
Ed Burns, ding.
Yeah, we have a sexy scene, so it's really awkward when there's a theater at the Arclight filled with people, and there you are. You know,
you're sort of naked.
Yeah,
exactly. Now you wimped out on boobies in Conan the Barbarian, right?
Those boobs were real and they were fantastic, and they were not mine.
Yeah, you had stunt boobs in that one.
I had stunt boobs.
Is that going to be your policy, or is it going to be depending on project to project?
Really, Bean?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Oh, he is.
Creepy alert.
I'm not being creepy at all.
Oh, yeah. If those were her boobs, they'd be on your computer for the rest of the
time. I would like
please.
To congratulate Bean for taking this long to get creepy.
I was just wondering if you have a no nudity policy.
Creepy alert.
I have a father that I love very, very much.
So when he dies.
Oh, that's a terrible thing
to
say.
Wow.
Oh,
I'm not saying I
we're
want that to happen.
We're trying to wrap things up here, Bean, and everything was going so well.
Now
the dead father.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I mean, if the role really called for it, I would be amenable to it. But as of right now, I have a father who I do love very, very much, and he does not need anybody seeing my boobs.
Okay,
on
fair
the
enough.
Screen. So
totally
I'm
going to
keep
that.
Those under wraps.
I think that's fine. I respect that.
Are you
I respect
sure you
that
think
decision.
That's fine, Bean?
I do.
Really?
I respect.
Are
I just,
you going to go home?
They're
and cry
real. They're
now?
Fantastic. I'm keeping them to myself.
It is kind of a waste sale. All right.
Creepy alert.
This is new.
The creepy
you
alert.
Guys did not have the creepy alert.
That's
last
correct.
Time
and he
here.
Keeps setting it off. But again, it took him a long time to get to it. So.
I think I did very well
I
today, ladies and gentlemen,
you know,
by the way.
Thank you.
Considering.
Rachel, will we see you before we say goodbye? And again, Alex Cross in theaters, please go see it this weekend. Will we see you at Acoustic Christmas? You're going to come visit us again
absolutely.
This year.
Oh, absolutely. After last year, I vowed to always be here for
we had fun,
Christmas.
Right?
We had a great time.
And I was okay in person, right?
You were lovely in person.
Creepy alert.
You did ditch him, though, right? At some point, you were
she couldn't get out of there fast enough. Are you kidding
else.
Me? Of course.
She's like, where's
she's not stupid.
All right, Rachel, we got to go. Thank you, sweetheart.
Right.
We love you.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Is that going to be your policy? You're not going to show your boobs? Because Conan, they weren't your boobs. When in the next film will you show your boobs?
Creepy alert.
Nude. When your father dies, then will you be naked for me?
I've never been more disgusted in my life.
But
you
I
exaggerate.
But seriously, it took him a long time to get there. And for him holding out that long, that's
well,
an accomplishment.
That weight obviously caused a big buildup of creepy that
happened.
Spewed like a Krakatoa volcano of creepy.
What are you saying?
Saying it's bleh.
I thought it was a legitimate line of questioning. She opened the door, counselor, on the sex scene with Ed Burns. That's what got us into the topic, and I just had a follow-up. That's all. I didn't bring
you
it
up. You had two follow-ups,
you had
including
lots
you,
of follow-up.
When your dad dies?
You had follow-up, and then you had clean-up afterwards.
Clean-up on aisle bean.
Bleh.
Bleh.
How delightful is Rachel, though?
She's great.
She is enormously patient and forgiving.
She's the best.
Very understanding.
God.
How dare you? It's not like that. It's just love. That's all. It's just love.
Speaking of love, TMZ.com is talking about Love on Tape this morning. Turns out that Heather Klemm partnered in the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
This is Mrs. Bubba.
Ex-Mrs. Bubba now. At the time Hulk Hogan made that video, she was Mrs. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Okay.
There are at least three additional sex tapes featuring Heather Klemm with other men.
Is that right?
Also shot while she was married to Bubba. And in one of the tapes, she even walks up to the camera, double-checking that it's recording. She says to her partner, "Is this thing recording? Okay, not that I don't trust you, but I will get in trouble if it doesn't." Which seems to indicate that Heather and Bubba had some kind of agreement which allowed Heather to have sex with other men as long as she videotaped it for her husband's enjoyment.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
According to TMZ, the other two tapes, which are shot in the same style as the Hulk tape in a overhead surveillance type camera angle in the bedroom, it's unclear if those two men knew they were being recorded either. A Hulkster, of course, claims he had no idea he was being recorded. You know, at the very end of the Hulk Hogan sex tape, there is a sequence where Bubba and Heather, after Hulk leaves, joke about the fact that if he ever wanted to retire, he could sell the Hulk Hogan video for big money.
Really?
But Hulkster has gone on record saying he doesn't believe that Bubba was the one who released the tape.
Yeah, that's hot.
Speaking of which, Sex.com, the porno website, has released an open letter to Hulk Hogan saying they will open their checkbook and give him a blank check if he's interested in signing a deal and releasing that tape to them.
Wow.
To which I said,
it's not that good.
Google Heather Klemm. Look at her photos. She is way hot.
Oh.
The porn company should be pursuing her, not Hulk Hogan. We don't really want to see Hulk Hogan. We want to see this hot chick who had sex with Hulk Hogan have sex with many other dudes.
Maybe they could sign
give
as a team.
Give her a contract and say, the woman from the Hulk Hogan sex tape. You can still cash in on the white hot heat, the momentary heat of that sex tape by giving her a lucrative deal in adult films, and then we can watch someone who's attractive actually doing what she obviously loves to do. Am I right or am I right?
I think you're right.
Sex.com adds in the letter, while this may be an embarrassing ordeal for you to go through right now, it doesn't need to be. You are bigger than Andre the Giant where it matters.
Yeah.
Being alive.
That's right, Hulkster. My little Hulkster. It's good and eats fruit.
It actually, oh my God, is it really that big?
It actually eats fruit.
Does it?
Yeah. Tom Hanks, America's sweetheart, nicest man in Hollywood, got in a little trouble this morning on Good Morning America.
What'd he do?
Well, it's a live show. And she asked him if he could do an accent that he does for one of his characters in his new movie, Cloud Atlas. Hank said, that's kind of tricky because it's mostly swear words I do in that character. She goes, oh, try it anyway. So he starts doing the accent. And because out of habit, out of having worked that way, he dropped the F-bomb on live television.
F-word, MF-word, S-word, G-word, D-word, GD-word.
Poor Hanks was mortified. So you can see he grabs his mouth and the look in his face is, oh, Lord, I believe I did that on live television.
He
was genuinely embarrassed.
But he warned him.
He said, it's mostly just curses I used in that character. He's like, well, do it anyway. And he slipped into it and an F-bomb slipped out. And
They asked for it then.
Exactly. But it was adorable. And he said, next time I'll be on this show, there'll be a 7-second delay, won't there? And ABC apparently has fixed it in the subsequent feeds of that episode, but people in New York apparently got to see Hanks dropping the F-bomb.
Sweet.
Which is cool. You want to see,
of course,
the Mr. Clean, Mr. Good Guy, just getting a little down there in the muck. You know what I'm saying? Today's celebrity birthday is Jillian Davis. Nope. Jillian Jacobs is 30 years old today. She's, of course, on Community. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live and A Night at the Roxbury. What is love? Baby, don't
hurt me. Don't hurt me. At least I forgot about this. That's a Will Ferrell movie, too, right?
Yeah, they were the two brothers.
For Will. Based on an SNL sketch.
That's right. It was one of the first sketch movies where we said, really, they're going to make a whole movie out of a two-minute sketch? All right. Booker's in that, too.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's Richard Grieco. He played Booker on television.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
42 years old today, Chris Kattan. Trey Parker from South Park and, of course, Broadway's Book of Mormon, 43 years old. Jon Favreau from the Iron Man movies. It's funny now, we think of him mainly as a big-time Hollywood director when he was an actor for all those years.
Yep.
Swingers. And many other films. He is 46 years old. Ty Pennington from Extreme Makeover Home Edition is 48. Heavyweight boxing champ Evander Holyfield is 50 years old. And John Lithgow, one of the best, nicest guys and one of our best actors, 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
But first, though, could I just correct myself real quick? It is not 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's 7 minutes after 9 o'clock.
So it is.
Oh, that's what you were laughing at.
I didn't even notice.
I said, no,
it's backwards. We don't even hear Kevin anymore.
Yeah.
What's your level of excitement for the season finale of Boston?
Can't wait.
Oh, my God. Has it been unbelievable? We're so happy to have Kathleen Robertson joining us here on The Kevin Bean Show. She's one of the stars of Boss on Stars. Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
You could not be talking to two bigger fans of Boss. I can't believe how great the show is. And to me, it's criminal that everybody's not talking about it the same way they are with shows like Dexter and Homeland. It's every bit as good.
So what are we going to do about it?
I don't know. If we had a radio show.
What are we going to do?
If we had a radio show, we could tell people about it.
I know.
That's one of the reasons why we were so excited when we heard that we had the chance to talk to you, because even though tonight, and this is not going to make sense to people, even though we're promoting a season finale of a show they haven't been watching, they should put Boss on their radar, and they should go back and watch the other shows, either on DVD or on demand, or get them through iTunes or something like that. This is easily the best show that people aren't watching. And let's talk about Kelsey Grammer for a minute here, Kathleen.
Yeah.
He, of course, plays Mayor Kane on the show. And I swear, after about 15 minutes of the first episode, I found myself doubting that that guy could ever do comedy. I was thinking, this guy is a dramatic actor. There's no way he could do comedy.
I know. It's kind of mind-blowing how great he is in the role and how kind of terrifying he is to watch. We felt the same way. Martin Donovan and I, Martin was in the first season. He played Stone. And on our very first day, we were both kind of going, oh, do you think he's going to be any good? Like, do you think it's going to work? I mean, it's like, do you think he's going to be able to pull it off? And, you know, we were kind of waiting. And he did his first take. And we just both kind of kicked each other under the desk. And we were like, I think we're good. I think we're safe.
I've never seen a show before where almost everything he says is the opposite of what you know he feels. So he'll look at somebody and smile and say, you're a great man, and you know what he means by that is, I hate your guts and I'm going to bring you down.
he's pretty good at that. It's fun. It's really fun to watch.
Now, Kathleen Robertson is on the phone with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. She plays a very politically savvy, what's the word I'm looking for? You are a
consultant?
She is a political animal of sorts. I play an amazing sort of damaged, messed up, really complicated woman named Kitty O'Neill who has kind of sacrificed her life and her sort of her everything for this man. And over the course of the two seasons so far that we've filmed, you know, you sort of get to see her go through sort of at the end of season one, she's sort of completely decimated by Kane, and then season two really is about her journey sort of to figure out who she is without him and who she is without the identity of being in the world of politics.
And it's fascinating. Kitty is not the only character. There are several others, including the right-hand man for the mayor now, who their whole lives are politics. They get so swallowed up by the power that it seems like they're willing to ignore or disregard everything else in the life that isn't to the end of political power. Was that written based on – there are people like that, right?
Yeah, I met with a lot of them. when I first showed up in Chicago and was doing research for the role, I had the chance to sit down with several different women who had worked for the former mayor over the past, old women who maybe had been out of it for a while, but over the course of the last 15 years. And I said, well, but this can't be really the way it is, and it has to be ultimately these people are doing it for, to affect change and for the greater good. And they all just kind of looked at me and said, no, it's not about that.
Really?
Not about that. And I said, well, what is it about? And they said, it's about power, and everybody knows it, and the corruption is on the table, and
It's very much this is what it is, and it's been really fascinating.
I was going to ask you
to see people's response, you know, especially people in that world, just to see their response and hear what they have to say.
I was going to ask you, Chicago is one of those cities that is sort of known for the backroom politics and that kind
of
stuff.
Has a reputation of corruption, right?
Right. It's not exaggerated. I mean, everybody's sleeping with everybody, and that's how deals are done, and everybody's stabbing everybody in the back. It has to be. That's not exaggerated.
You don't think? I mean, don't you watch CNN?
I do, but it's hard to believe more secrets wouldn't come out if everything was like that all the time.
Well, I feel like they slowly are coming out, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were filming the first season, you know, it was Mr. Anthony Weiner, you know,
that's
whole.
Right. That's true. That's him, right.
You know, and that was going on as we were filming the first season. So,
what kind of reaction do you get from people since the show is set in Chicago and films in Chicago? I'm sure you run into a lot of Illinois citizens. What do they think about the show and how their town is portrayed?
They love it. It's funny. We were kind of concerned when we were there the first season. So we were shooting the show. We knew, you know, what the material was. And even, like, you know, I met Mayor Emanuel, and you know, everybody was kind of saying, you know, what's the show really about, and what does it really deal with? And we were terrified that, you know, once people saw the show, they would never let us come back and film a second season.
Right.
But they love it. They think it's great.
Wow. Chicago.
Which is funny.
Chicago looks good, but the politicians look bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is the recommendation. If you take nothing away from this week's Kevin and Bean show, it's got to be this. Catch up on Boss on Stars. You've got to be watching this show. It's, like I said, it's available on demand. It's available on iTunes. The first season is out on DVD. I already bought a couple of sets as gifts for people, Kathleen. I'm just spreading the word as much as I can. But the season
it's okay.
two...
It's Oprah's favorite show.
It's
Oprah and Kevin and Bean's favorite show.
What else do you need to know?
We are rarely in cahoots with Oprah, I'll tell you that.
And the season two finale airs tonight at 9 o'clock on the Stars Network. Kelsey Graham was phenomenal on the show. Connie Nielsen is great. Kathleen Robertson has an amazing character, and you're terrific on it as well. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathleen.
All of these songs are improved by Ralph whistling on them.
I think that was much better.
I would beg to differ. Kevin and I are going to do a whistling duet show, and we're going to take it on the road.
I'd blow hum. You whistle.
Yeah, you do blow hum.
Please do take it on the road. Actually, that would work out for all of us. 9:41, time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Not just for the day, but for the week.
When are you going to show us your boobs?
What about your cans? What's your policy on your cans?
When do those boobs come out? When your dad's dead?
Was it like that
Jeez
at all?
Jesus crackers.
Was it like that at all?
It was
You're
a little
mischaracterizing.
Like that.
It was a lot like that. And she's like, okay, I have to go now. Poor Rachel Nichols.
He was in a hurry to leave. I did
see
the smoke.
Can't imagine why. Animal practice is no longer. Sorry, all you animal practice fans. NBC has pulled the show. It means Crystal Monkey's out of work.
Uh-oh.
It was about an animal hospital and the people who worked there and the good times that they had. But America wasn't interested. So it's gone, and it'll be replaced by Whitney. Featuring other people that no one care about, that no one really wants to see.
I think I saw Crystal on 30 Rock last night, so apparently she's still working.
Her career is bigger and better than ever. Sad news for those of us who remember the days of scrambled hard R movies on the cable and trying to look between the snow and the flickering images to find just something to masturbate to.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. And that woman was a Dutch actress, Sylvia Crystal. She was known as Emmanuel in the legendary Emmanuel films of the 70s, a very erotic series of films that was pushing the envelope for its time.
That's hot.
And it's still pretty hot, quite frankly. She was 21 years old when she got the role of Emmanuel. She was actually going to audition for a commercial for clothes soap, detergent.
And Bean was the
And Bean was
agent?
The casting director.
Let's see
he said,
the cans.
How about your boobs? When do those come out? When's your dad going to die? And he immediately cast her as Emmanuel in a series of films.
Why is she in the news, Ralph?
She passed away.
Slow down, week. Bean.
She passed away.
We're having fun.
60 years old.
It's a rush.
She was pulled in the audition. She says, the director asked me to take my dress off. Luckily, it was an easy dress to take off. It had spaghetti straps. I just slipped over my shoulders, and it just fell off. I carried on talking and smoking in the nude. And she got the role just like that.
It does work that way.
Sounds like an interview for a housekeeping position at Bean's house.
Yeah. Let's see the boobs.
Yeah, how about the boobs?
What's your policy?
Sad news if you're a movie fan. Three movies have gotten green lights this week that I promise you will be films even Kevin couldn't like. First one, Heathcliff. The hilarious comic strip character Heathcliff is getting his own big budget CGI / live action movie version.
I don't know anything about Heathcliff.
I don't either.
Kevin.
He was an orange cat.
Okay.
Who sure did stir up a lot of trouble.
Isn't that Garfield?
No. You're confusing him with Garfield, who loved lasagna and kicking his dog Odie.
Okay.
Heathcliff liked to kick over trash cans.
There's room for both of those?
Yes.
And now a full-length movie?
And now a full-length movie featuring Heathcliff. Heathcliff, Heathcliff, no one should terrify their neighborhood. But Heathcliff just won't be undone, playing pranks on everyone.
He plays pranks on everyone, that Heathcliff.
Pranks on us, because that's going
to
be...
Have they announced yet that Jason Lee has signed for this, or do we still have to wait for that news?
Not yet. Then, they announced, 20th Century Fox this week, announced they're doing a movie based on the comic strip Family Circus. Family Circus is a syndicated comic strip, and it's around 1,500 newspapers, even today. It began in 1960, back when people were so desperately starved for entertainment, they would look at a cartoon featuring a wholesome Christian family and kids breaking vases and saying, not me, that they thought that was funny. Of course, now, some 100 years later, we are much more sophisticated and no one wants to see this movie. And yet they're going to make it nonetheless. And lastly, and perhaps leastly, remember the Ernest movies? Ernest goes to camp, Ernest goes to jail, Ernest goes to college, Ernest goes to hell.
Those were...
Ernest goes to your mom's house in the middle of the night.
There was like 50 of them and none of them were good,
Nine movies. Nine Ernest movies.
Were any of them good?
No, sir.
Okay.
They are rebooting that franchise, I'm happy to announce, with the son of Ernest, since Jim Varney, who played Ernest in all the movies, died in 2000.
This movie does look good.
This will be about... Ernest's son. A new actor play Ernest's son in the new film called Ernest Had a Hole in His Condom.
Oh, I don't think that's the name of it.
No, it's not what it's called at all. But these are movies that are being made by people.
It's the golden age of Hollywood. You know
it really
that.
Is.
Son of a gun. I like this Heather Clem. I know that much. I don't know if you've seen her photos on the
fan of her cans
on the internet, but she is Hulk Hogan's co-star in his sex tape that Gawker.com showed us just a little bit of. TMZ.com announces that there are three additional sex tapes featuring Heather Clem with other men, shot while she was still married to Bubba the Love Sponge, the DJ in Florida that was Hulk Hogan's best friend. No word on who these other gentlemen are, but it seems to be, if you watch the tapes, that there was some sort of agreement between Heather and her husband of the time, Bubba, that allowed her to have sex with other men as long as she videotaped it. She actually says during one of these tapes with her mystery partner, is this thing recording? Okay, it's not that I don't trust you, but I will get in trouble if it doesn't. Bubba would be upset. What? Did you have sex with somebody and not film it?
What?
What the hell's wrong with you, woman?
Call him back.
When's your dad going to be dead so you can show these videos around? It'd be good. Show them.
That's a thing that some people have, is they get turned on by watching their partner have sex with somebody else, right?
Hell to the yeah. Although I can't imagine why he wouldn't watch in person versus a grainy security video quality black and white image shot from a corner of the room.
Yeah.
You're going to watch. You want it in 3D Technicolor, you know what I'm saying?
If she's making multiple movies, go ahead and... And splurge for some better gear, right?
Get yourself a crew. Bring in some Teamsters. Where's the key grip? Where's the best boy? The best boy was in bed, apparently. Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow. Is it Lithgow or Lithgow? Does anyone know?
I think we learned definitive? It was Gow.
It's
it
both.
Yeah. It is both.
I don't know.
67 years old today. Former heavyweight boxing champion Evander Holyfield celebrates his 50th birthday.
Nope,
That's confusing.
That's bad timing.
Yeah, that's bad timing right there. Ty Pennington, Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
What is love?
48 years old.
Okay.
Actor, screenwriter, director, super talented, super nice guy, Jon Favreau, is 46 years old. Trey Parker of South Park and Book of Mormon fame is 43. Chris Kattan from A Night at the Roxbury. Celebrates his 42nd birthday, and Jillian Jacobs from Community is 30. Couldn't replace Animal Practice with Community, NBC?
No, I'm kidding.
Couldn't get that out of the vault and start throwing those episodes up? Whitney, huh? Really? Whitney? All right. Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new show. We have comedian Doug Stanhope. We have Harvey Levin plus Azita Ganizada from Alphas.
I love Rachel.
She's Rachel.
Yes, she is.
Thank you for filling in that blank.
She can smell things from a long distance.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
When's she going to show her boot?
Pass it over to me.
That does.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What's your policy about getting naked?
Pass it over to me.
I'm disappointed in Conan. I didn't see your boot.
Roll up. Just like the other one.
Seriously, take off your clothes.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why are you here with your clothes on, Rachel?
I need another hit.
Yeah, radio's better than the news.
It's about your dad. When's he gonna die? When he dies, you gonna show the cans? What's the policy?
Why'd you whip him out at the funeral? That's the way dad would want it.
Roll.
T-shirt there.
I don't have another cent.
Got cans underneath that T-shirt? Yeah.
Patriot.
Those cans?
Patriot's on your can. Yeah. How's your dad feeling?
Just pass it around.
Not well, is he?
Yeah.
Nipples.
What the hell?
Was that because of us?
I don't know. I mean, it started off super positive, then it just got crazy.
I did not like that at all.
No, Kev. None of us did.
Yeah, it was totally messed up.
Well, I guess all's well that ends well. No. I didn't mean that as a joke. I just meant that as a general comment to wrap things up. Wait, how was that funny? Look, I don't have time for this, okay?
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.